Okay, hello. Welcome to Freebooters from the room, from the Discord room. We're just doing it ad hoc.
Why do you sound like a substitute teacher right
Hello, I'm your substitute teacher,
now?
Mr. Flutface.
And I'm going to show you that
No
maths
making
can
fun
be
of my name.
funny.
So hello, today we're joined by Wing and maybe some others if they're dropping by. And Drew was saying something about male pattern baldness before we started recording.
Yeah, why does it go bald in the middle and keep growing on the sides rather than the reverse? Like, if it was bald on the sides, I wouldn't have hair touching my ears and irritating me, and I'd have cool mohawk. But no, it's the reverse of that, which is awful.
Yeah, which would be interesting, the effect on culture as well, because you know how like Gen Zers love shaving really close to the side and backs of their hair?
So they would be reversed. The cool
Yeah.
haircut would be shaved in the middle. Yeah.
They'd
I mean,
be. Mind you, a lot of young people do just shave their heads now, it seems, for some reason. I
it's
don't think
so
that's.
much easier.
Yeah, I don't think that's. Is
Like,
that a new thing? I think I always remember it being a thing.
I took to shaving my head in like when I was like 18 or so, just partly just the look and partly just like it's a very practical, just every month or so you just shave your head. It's you don't need to go to any barber or anything. It's just easy.
The
And it feels
utilitarian
nice.
haircut.
Yeah, and it feels like the air on your head, the wind on your head. It does feel really nice. I really like that.
There are parts about having short hair that I miss.
It's
This takes,
comfortable. Well, at
yeah,
least for me, it's
this
comfortable.
takes forever to dry.
Your camera's still not. Is your camera on?
Is this the
Not for
same?
me, no.
It says fail to start camera on, Chris, which I
No.
assume is what he looks like now.
Did
Did
we have this problem last time? Is this because I'm running it we.
through LibreFox, LibreWolf?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Okay. All right. One second. I'm going to try and do a seamless transition podcast from one app to t'other.
I'm going
Uh,
to
oh,
not say anything because it'll probably disconnect.
okay. It wants me to update on Arch. This like Arch, you're asking me questions that I don't. Oh, this has gone badly.
There is an AUR package that prevents Discord from forcing an update. Like that thing where it won't run unless you update, you can make it not do that.
I fucking hate that. I have
That.
I put a mini PC in the sitting room downstairs, and but I don't open Discord on it very often. But every single time I do, it'll be like Discord requires an update. I was like,
Yeah,
fuck.
yeah, yeah.
I hate
Yeah.
it.
Fine. And
I
it's
have
clearly
now
not.
created an alias that curls down the newest update and puts it in the right place
Yeah,
and stuff, but
yeah.
still, it's still annoying. It's a process.
That
It
one is
is.
completely artificial. Like it can run. It's perfectly capable of running. They're
Yeah.
just making sure nothing's.
Right. I mean, at the Well, the
moment.
annoying thing is sometimes it doesn't need that because it will. Sometimes you open it and it will go downloading update. So there's some updates it would pull in itself, but other ones
Yeah,
it won't.
yeah. Steam's quite good with that because Steam has a similar setup where sometimes you update the client on the package manager, but often it will just up self-update. And even when there are updates, like on my laptop, which I update about once every 2 years on Arch, Steam just carries on running. It doesn't do the Discord thing of, no, you've got to update the package. It never does that. I mean, I assume there's a point where it does, but like in my experience, it's never ever done it.
See, the Steam package on Debian, I mean, it's the only one I've ever come across that is a very unique package in the Debian repo that is actually just an auto-updater that always pulls down to Steam. So whenever the actual client needs an update it can't do itself, that will pull it down. But it's the only program I know in Debian stable that will be up to date at all times.
One that's trusted.
Okay.
Nope.
Goodbye forever, Chris. I like when
Okay.
he left his.
Hey!
Oh,
Right.
he's alive.
Hey,
The
that.
entire time you were off, your voice activity thingy was on, which is weird.
What
Right,
style?
okay. So now all I've got to do is, if you're listening to this in audio, I can only apologize. And then.
I'm going to tell people in the chat that we're doing a live reboot, isn't it? They're welcome.
Excellent. That's very good. Okay. There we go. I think will that
Briefly
work?
go back to Drew's hair, though. I do
Yeah.
always, every time somebody talks about male pattern baldness, I do always remember the Wikipedia page for that.
like as the example for male part and boneless, one of the images is just a row of ancient Greek philosopher busts, and I always find that funny.
They started it by thinking too hard.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Back it. Nope, that's wrong.
This is just so people know, this is a very spur of the moment freebooters where we were just having a chat and we were like, we should record this, which is
Yeah.
why it's so shambolic.
This is absolutely shambolic.
You missed all the interesting stuff. We had a great conversation before we were recording.
Yep.
Always the case with podcasts, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. You won't believe some of the amazing stuff that we said before playing Divinity.
It would have blown your mind. 0.5 was unbelievable.
Oh, I do have important talking point.
Okay.
So I've changed up my mug game. I can't really hold this up against the white background, can I? But I hold it up against me jumper there. So this is a new cup I got today, trying it out. So it's
Very tall.
it is.
Yeah.
So it's a relatively, yeah, it is the taller and the thinner kind of cup. It's I would say this is more, it's like sort of 2.5 finger action, really. You sort of like, you probably casually hold it like that, but you could get a third finger in there if you wanted to. But it's a bit squished. It's a bit like, you know how a bastard sword is like 1.5 handed, so you can hold it one handed, you can hold it two. It's a bit like that. It's a bastard cup, and it's interesting because it's got the rim sort of turns out a little bit, and it sits nicely on the counter. It's the right size. Like I used to have a great couple of mugs that were smaller at the top than they were at the bottom, so they were bottom heavy, and you could not knock those over for love nor money. They're great. This is, but they were too big, and I would always fill them up, and I always felt like I've had too much tea at the end of it.
I am always worried about, because that is a relatively narrow and tall mug, and they're a bit top heavy, easy to knock over. That's me. I did have a mug very much like that for the longest time, though. My uncle, I think he bought a mug and then stenciled my name on it and then fired it. Like he's a ceramic artist and ceramic artist, so. But I don't think he made the mug. But it was very, very similar shape to that, and that was my favorite mug for many, many years until it broke. It's a comfortable mug.
Yeah, I mean, this mug only cost £2. So it would be str I mean, it could take over as my favorite. I don't think it's too top heavy. I know what you mean. That's why I tend to go for mugs where the base is roughly the same size as the top, like sort of a cylindrical kind of design. And I feel that's stable enough. Like sometimes, you get ones with a smaller base, like the sort of the more bowl shaped ones that you get in like Costa Coffee and places like that. I don't like those. The center of
Or just a less tall one, so it has a broader base. Now, I mean, this mine actually tapers outwards, but it's quite broad at the base, so that is not knock overable.
Yeah.
But that means the tea goes colder quicker. The larger the surface area at the top, the quicker your tea goes
That is
cold.
true, but
You're
also,
drinking your tea too slowly.
Yeah,
Yes.
sometimes. Yeah.
But also, with the longer and thinner ones, is that the center of mass is closer to your hand. You've got more control over the tea. So it's more comfortable to just hold, drink out of, sit. That's the trouble with the Costa coffee cups, is that they're so far away from the their center of mass is so far away from the hand. You basically have to drink it two-handed, which is, that's just sort of like, I don't know if they're trying to be trendy or if there's a, they're.
Not having been to a Costa, is this the mug you're talking about?
Where have you put that picture? Is that in
In general,
the
yeah.
general chat?
Oh, in general,
Yeah. Yes, that's
I mean,
it.
that is
That
a
looks like a ball ache to drink out. It was too wide.
Yeah, too
that is
wide.
very much a that's a coffee cup rather than a mug, right? Or I mean, a teacup has a very similar thingy rather than I think the mug is the practical drinking version.
Yeah, I just like a very, I don't know, uniform mug. It's just thick enough, it's not skinny. We have the ones I well, I have we have a couple left. We've recently gotten new mugs. Unfortunately, could not get the same ones because I really like the ones we have. Only got four of them left. The new one, the taper in at the bottom and it's weird, but also the actual thickness of the mug, of like the
Yeah,
wall,
the
is they're slightly thicker, and I think they're too thick of a
Oh.
wall, which is
Thick's
just it
good
feels
for me
odd.
because Unless it's like your body, because bone china and porcelain are very strong, but like a normal, like earthenware or whatever, mug, like I need thick walls because I drop them so fucking often. Like I drop them all the time. Like it needs to be able to
I wouldn't say the old ones had thin walls. They're just, I don't know, normal mug walls, but these ones are just a slight. I'm trying to find a picture of them. Unfortunately, like I said, they don't do the old ones anymore, and I can't actually find a picture of the bloody new one.
Drew, are you in a carpeted room?
Yes, but there's a bit like where the fire. I don't have a fireplace in my bedroom anymore, but there used to be a fireplace, and there's like a stone or some kind of very hard material, which is where I make my tea. There's a stone like slab, and that's where I most often drop my mug. So
right, oh okay, so that's a high risk zone.
I've dropped it a good dozen times there, and it so far it has just bounced. So it's a nice thick strong mug, which is good. I think I mentioned this before. I went to a tin mug for a while.
Oh, you did say, yeah.
Can't break a tin mug. Problem with tin mug is your tea goes cold instantly because it's thin metal, which just conducts all the heat of the tea out, and your tea goes cold so quickly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, that stands to reason, doesn't it? Yeah.
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 Okay. I mean, I
found a picture of the new mugs, and I do think this is just bad design because, like, it tapers in too much at the bottom. And, yes.
That's too narrow a base.
Yeah, that is too narrow a base. But
and the handle, the handle on Chris's has got it loops up to the top. So all the weight is up here, as Chris was saying. So you've got control of the weight, whereas the handle is straight down.
Yeah,
means
these are not good mugs, but you get four of them for €3.
No, that mug. Yeah, that's got. I don't hate that mug.
The base
I don't
is too
hate
narrow.
Them, but the, I don't hate them. The base is too narrow. The previous ones, like this, is just the own brand mugs of the place where we shop.
Yeah,
and they changed them out. Like the old ones were perfect. They were almost the same width, only they were just uniform down.
Yeah,
and the handle was slightly different shape, and also the walls were slightly thinner.
Yeah,
and they were perfect.
One does taper down, but it's straight. Like, it's straight down, and then this is the base, rather than going in.
Yeah, well, they're probably tapering down, like, very at a very slight angle, but, like, you know.
I'd imagine there's a reason for the firm tapering in, and I would guess, but if there are any more, like, mug experts out that would like to get in touch, correct or validate, but... is it possibly so that when you put a mug down, it has less? You can put it down softly at an angle without it really,
sloshing out. Maybe. Oh, because I was thinking bigger surface area here. You get more of the aroma of the drink when you're drinking it. Maybe that could be a thing. I don't know.
Does the tea that we drink have much of an aroma?
Yeah, I think I think tea. I think tea is mostly.
You're probably very used to it because
I think tea
heavy tea drinkers in both countries.
What do you drink, Wing? Like, what's your all day sort of drink?
Just black tea.
I don't actually know.
Yeah.
Oh, you do drink black tea. Okay,
black tea. Okay, yeah.
Good.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've had.
I do use the gold blend because. As much as I hate it, it does taste different.
What is the gold blend?
Gold blend?
Companies have their normal tea and they have a gold blend, which is slightly more expensive, and I don't know what the difference is, but it tastes different. So I do buy slightly more expensive.
I don't think I've ever seen gold blend. I've seen gold blend coffee. Like Nescafe had a gold blend back in the day that was supposed to be the slightly better Nescafe instant coffee.
Was it smoother or a different roast or something?
I don't know. It just has a different taste, and it's just nicer. I know there's like Lions do a gold blend, Barry's here do a gold blend. I have no idea what the difference is. I can just tell when the not gold blend has been bought.
I was shocked when we were doing our shopping today in Tesco's that I managed to get 160 tea bags of Yorkshire tea, so the real nice tea, la-di-da, for only 50p more than 160 bags of Tetleys, which is
Tetley's in bad though. I used to not like Tetley's back in the day, but I think Tetley, I used to like PG Tips, but I think PG Tips has got worse and Tetley's has got better.
Yorkshire Tea is better than the malt though.
I think Yorkshire Tea, if I was recommending a tea to somebody who is trying tea for the first time, I would recommend Yorkshire Tea because it's good. Mm. But I don't think it's that much better than, it's good and it's available everywhere. Whereas if you're recommending Tetley's or what, I don't know. It seems like it's less reliable.
It is interesting how you guys have so many brands. Like I've definitely seen many tea brands, but everybody in the country that I know only uses one of two. No, we've Barry's Tea, which is an Irish company, Lyons, which I do believe is British. But like that's basically all I've ever seen anybody have here.
I've never tried any of those brands.
I think back in the day, 80s, 90s, it was like that here. It was everybody was either PG Tips, Tetley's, or Typhoo.
Oh, I like Typhoo. Yeah, I was Typhoo.
Typhoo's decent. And then everything got a bit like bougie and the idea of foodies and everybody became a fucking connoisseur and then it sort of all got stupid. But I think back in the day, it was more like that.
The
only time I see not Barry's or Lions is I can't remember the name. I will see other ones if people are drinking tea wrong, which is peppermint or berries. Yeah.
I don't know if I would actually recommend tea to a person who is an adult who has never tried tea before, like the British tea that we drink, because
it's a weird flavor, isn't it? Really?
Yeah,
it doesn't taste. Not a strong flavor. It's not like coffee where you're like, oh, that, like, I think your first sip of, I mean, I like coffee as a baby, but I think most people, if they, because in America, they don't let kids drink coffee. It's a weird, like, coffee spread.
There's a lot of caffeine in it. I mean, decaf for kids, maybe.
I think they pump
kids. There's a lot of caffeine in Coke, though, and you give that to children.
Anyway,
coffee. Your first sip of coffee as an adult, if you've never had it, it's probably going to be like, oh, that's like bitter and weird. But it's clearly an acquired taste. Like, it's instant revulsion, and then like, oh, but there was something interesting about that. Whereas tea, it's a weirdly very mild flavor, but sort of, he's hard to describe as a flavor. It is an odd flavor.
It's
a bit metallic.
It's a unique taste.
To be honest, it's metallic. It's not even about the taste to me. It's a general sort of experience, a melange of sensations.
Because it's not just, it doesn't feel like it's mostly happening on the tongue. Unlike coffee, I mean, coffee has a very strong aroma as well. So coffee is very, but it's very pungent. Tea is sort of mild, but like up here somewhere, it is quite pronounced. It's mild but pronounced. That doesn't really.
Yeah, yeah. So, by the way,
it's just a really nice drink. Like, I don't know, if someone hadn't tried tea before, I would tell them to fucking try tea. It's the correct drink.
Maybe start with.
You have to have something because, I mean, I find I hate drinking water.
I like water, but I couldn't have water. I think I need a hot drink as my. Yeah. You know.
I don't like plain water. It just feels off to me to drink. I don't know why. Which is ridiculous, but I just tea. Tea is how I get most of my liquid.
Well, for me, water and tea kind of taste similar. This is going to sound stupid, but they both, to me, water tastes metallic and tea tastes metallic, and tea is like water plus.
I think this might be a consequence of your plumbing.
This is everywhere, even like mineral waters, good mineral waters at least. Well, mineral waters can either taste salty or metallic. Volvic tastes metallic. Evian tastes salty to me.
Wow. I'm surprised you even had mineral waters, to be honest.
I like a mineral water. Okay. I like water. I really like water. I was going to say, actually, when we were talking about drinking vessels, I've got... I shouldn't do this gesture too much, should I? I've got a water bottle for when I'm in bed. I drink water when I'm in bed. Mm. I take a cup of tea to bed, but then the rest of the night I'm drinking water. And it's a very, it's a metal drinking bottle, water bottle, and it's really tall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, by the side of my bed. And anytime I reach, if I touch it, even if my fingertips touch it, like the light, it will fall over and go dong. Oh. It's the most fucking annoying thing. So I need a broad base.
Have you thought about getting a magnet for your desk?
Magnet would be cool, actually. Put it on a magnet pad or something would be great for it. Yeah, that'd be perfect. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, if you're looking, would you ever want to drink a cup of tea mid sleep?
I really thought you were going to say sex.
I'll be back in a minute, darling.
I believe that's happened.
That sounds like the most British thing you've ever said.
The mid. What's a fancy word for sex?
The mid-coital.
Mid-coital cuppa. That's what we all do here.
It's how you edge out the last few minutes.
But have you ever been having sex and, like, you've gotten really thirsty and dehydrated? And then it's just a fucking chore to carry on, and then it's really hard. I find it hard to come.
I think it's one of those, you know, those like lazy summer, like it's really a bit too hot to have sex, but it's a lazy summer. So the sex is really like lasts really long and it's kind of slow. And I swear we've gone to make a cup of tea at the midpoint and then carried on.
I've definitely done that. Yeah. I mean, I swear, right. And this is a relatively new thing. So I'm guessing age has something to do with it. But there have definitely been times where, again, it usually happens when it's just a little bit too hot and your body's not really like into physical activity, where it's just like it's just giving up the go. If it goes on too long, it's like, you know what? It just sort of.
I mean, yeah. I think we should normalize like pausing, having an intermission in sex for drink. For even go make a nice meal and then come back to it refreshed and carry on.
Okay, I'm going to be honest here, right? Like, because obviously, you know, I'm with Rosie now, and
people though. Once it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like.
Oh no, wasn't it?
not to give too much away, but like me and Rosie, like, you know, we know each other quite well. We know what each other like. Mm-hmm. We know how to get each other there. To be honest, like, we're relatively efficient. Like, it's like
get it done in 5 minutes, man. Yeah, we got it down to like yeah.
We can get each other there. If you want a round two, then, you know, we're up for it. That's great.
Sometimes this came up. It's like sometimes you just want to fuck. Like, it can be fast. Like, you just want to fuck. You both want to come.
Mm.
Like, and then other times you just, you know, luxuriating, languorous. I'm not sure that's the right word, but, you know, like very slow and whatever. And, you know, lots of caressing. Mm. You know, yeah, it can be the both extremes and everything in between. They're all fine.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. But like, to be honest, like,
you've also both got jobs, you know.
This is true. But yeah, like we know generally where each other are at all the, you know, like we're pretty good at communicating these kind of things. It's not, you know, it's like, sorry, I'm not making it sound very romantic, but it's like, that's
in itself is romantic.
Some people are very attracted to efficiency.
Hey, you know, we like the Navy SEALs. We go in hard. We know what we're getting for. Extract, bang.
Oh no, don't compare yourself to the fucking
You shouldn't be extracting, though. You're generally inputting something.
Yeah.
At the end, you're going to extract.
Yeah.
So you'd be like, come in, Rosie, ready for exfil.
Yeah, exfil, yeah. Drop in a payload.
When you're finished, you have to say over.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, so, but, you know. Yeah. Sorry if that was TMI.
No, there's no fuck TMI.
No fuck TMI.
More I. Always more I.
Okay, great. But also,
we're not
also,
on YouTube anymore, it's fine.
We're not on YouTube, no. We're on Hamish Tube, the Polar Bear Extended Universe. Actually, going back to drinking, this is a very drinking vessel heavy. I wasn't expecting that.
We got derailed, but you were going to ask me, would I drink a cup of tea during sleep or something like that?
Oh, right, yeah. Mm, yes, okay, right, that's it, yeah. So have you ever woken up, because like, apparently in medieval times, it was quite normal for people to wake up some point in the middle of the night, 1-2 o'clock, potter around for a bit and then go back to bed. I don't know if this is like. I don't know how true this is. This might just be something I heard on the internet, whatever. I guess it kind of makes sense. Actually, when I had a.
Not bicameral, is it? But it's something by.
Biphasic.
Sleep. Biphasic, yeah. Would not suit me, just for the record. Like, it takes me so much fucking effort to get asleep.
Yeah.
It takes me hours to get to sleep that I don't want to, like, wake up and then have to do that again. However, if I do wake up in the middle of the night, I'll sometimes make a cup of tea, have a cup of tea, watch a video, and then fall back asleep kind of
thing. Well, interesting enough, when I had a nasty cold, We did this. Me and Rosie did this for a couple of days, where just like we stick on an episode or something on the telly, have a cup of tea, and then go back to sleep. And it actually worked really well. But if you do ever wake up in the middle of the night and want a cup of tea, I've been using this at work, Stanley mugs. I don't know how familiar you are with the
It's like a thermos flask that
yes,
you drink directly from it.
but incredibly high quality. They are ridiculously expensive, but like because I
Mean,
use
I
it.
find though that tea, like I think coffee survives well in a flask, but I think tea, or is it the other way around? I remember this from
No,
like
no.
working
You're
out.
right that coffee survives better in a flask than tea.
Tea
However,
seems to. Sometimes have people who just keep hot water in the flask and make the tea fresh.
Although there are plenty of options, plenty of opportunities for me at bus depots and stuff. They have like hot water taps designed for making tea. You don't even need to wait the kettle to boil. However, when you're out on the journey, sometimes if I've got a long route, it's nice to be able to have a cup of tea when I'm waiting at a layover on the other end. So I'll make one of these. They are phenomenally expensive for what they are, but like, well, not for what they are. They are like
For
this is the
what that is.
Rolls-Royce of fucking mugs. This is, and but you can just make a cup of coffee. To be honest, what I've noticed with this is I do make tea in it. I don't find that it gets stewy like it does in other
Well, that's good.
containers. I don't know if it's something to do with the metal it's made out of or anything like that. But it just, yeah, like I make a cup of tea because the thing is, I drink decaf everything. I drink decaf tea, I drink decaf coffee, and there isn't that many decaf options when you're out on the road. Interestingly enough, decaf tea often is more available than decaf coffee. I think that's just because the difference is like, well, British, but also decaf tea. What's that? That's just a box of tea bags on the side. Whereas with decaf coffee, especially if it's like espresso machines and all that kind of stuff. It's
It's hot
a
water.
whole yeah like it's a whole thing. So I've taken to using this just simply because I don't want to load myself up with caffeine. Tell you what, right? And one of the things that I like about having decaf, you hydrate better, but you don't need the toilet not nearly as much. Like it doesn't go through you the same way.
I mean, caffeine is a
Yeah,
moderate.
diuretic. So that's another reason why I'm sort of big into decaf is because it's just like yeah, I can drink and not really have to worry about getting caught short.
I think weight for weight, tea has more caffeine than coffee, but you use so little tea to make a cup of tea, and a cup of tea has significantly less caffeine than a cup of coffee. If I back when I was drinking coffee, I noticed the caffeine. With tea, I don't notice the caffeine.
I mean, I started decaf tea because I thought it would help me just settle down a bit easier. I think I do get like slightly better sleep. I think it's marginal for the most part, but also I think I have been through periods of my life where I've been addicted to caffeine. And I don't think it's like a hard addiction. Because when I stopped drinking caffeine recently, there was a couple of days of somewhat like, I
You
don't
could get
know,
ratty without me, kind of
yeah, a
thing.
little bit of aggravation, but then it passes and then you're fine. And that's happened a couple of times because when I used to work at the newspaper, man, we used to drink like 5 cups of coffee before midday. Like we were just like, now it was instant, so it wasn't like it was like, the occasional coffee shop one, but like, I'm not spending 5 cups of fucking coffee a day at a coffee shop. It's not even that good. I gotta be honest, I instant is fine. Instant is fucking
No, it's
fine. Also,
I agree.
trick with instant. Sorry, I'm just gabbling at this point, but I've got a lot of opinions. If you want to make your instant just a little bit better and you drink it black, add a little bit of water in the bottom, or if you take it with milk, a little bit of milk in the bottom first, add your coffee and then add your hot water. Do it in that order because then the hot water doesn't sort of scorch the coffee. It goes in because the cold water or milk sort of nullify the temperature before it really gets a chance to interact with the coffee. So you've got a slightly. You could, yeah. Sometimes you can like some fancy kettles and stuff moderate the temperature and stuff like that. You don't need to do that.
I was going to say, if you ever have, I mean, I knew a couple of people who are very into coffee, and they're just, you'll have ridiculous setups for making coffee perfectly, but it always starts with not how using boiling water.
But also with
That
espresso
makes
machines.
sense.
With espresso machines, because you usually start with an espresso, which is usually made at, I think it's like 32 or something degrees centigrade. You can then add like black hot water from a kettle to make an Americano, and that doesn't burn the coffee either. But
Yeah,
because it's
Back when I drank coffee, I like espresso as espresso. I didn't like the espresso-derived coffees. I think if you're just having a black coffee that isn't espresso, filter coffee, which doesn't seem to be a thing anymore, filter coffee was the best coffee. By far.
Well, interestingly
enough... Yeah, to say about instant coffee, I think instant coffee is generally worse than proper coffee, but a good instant is better than a bad real coffee.
Yeah, but also, there are a lot of bad proper coffees out there, like... Yeah. Because the thing is, if you're working your minimum wage at a Costa or Greg's is quite bad for this, I'm sorry, you know, is that like, yeah, if you're like working your fucking fingers to the bone, are you going to make sure to clean the fucking machine every single day really well, all that kind of stuff? I'll tell you what, I didn't, you know.
McDonald's coffee was, I mean, they serve it at literally the temperature of the core of the sun intentionally, which has literally caused people burns down to the fucking bone. But... McDonald's coffee. I've not had McDonald's coffee since the '90s, but McDonald's coffee always used to be decent. You know, good, still good, solid. You're getting kind of coffee.
Still good, better than Burger King coffee. Yeah. But yeah, Burger King coffee depends on the machine in question. Whether because I think McDonald's, I think are a bit stricter in their machine regimen, but I think Burger King are a bit like I think people can be a bit lax. Sometimes depends what Burger King you go to. Might depend, or depends what time of day. Like, obviously, if they just, you know, sorted out the machine. Sometimes as well. Now, this is getting a bit into the woods. But if they grind the beans on site, now, a lot of Costa places will have an automatic grinding system, which I'm assuming accounts for this. But if the humidity changes, you should really alter the humidity grinder. Well, not the humidity grinder. The humidity changes. You should like, recalibrate the grinder because... That has an impact on the overall the coarse fineness of the beans, and then how that comes through, and all that, how that, like, the chemistry of all that.
That reminds me of, I've probably told this story before, but the best coffee I ever had in my life was, we were in the National Gallery in London, and we were lost in the National Gallery. We ended up accidentally going into, like, the offices, like the private bit of the National Gallery where people actually work. And there was a coffee machine that looked like, it was the weirdest looking thing. It looked like furniture from the 1960s. It was like orange plastic with like legs coming out, you know, spindly legs coming out. And it was a coffee machine that ground the coffee. You press the button and it would grind the coffee and then make a cup of coffee out of the ground coffee. And it was literally the best coffee I've ever had in my life. It was amazing.
Ooh.
And I don't know what the fuck it was. I've never seen anything like it in my life before.
It sounds like the coffee version of those like fresh orange juice machines that you can see. It's just oranges sitting on the top, and they fall down and they get crushed. And you just get the orange juice.
Mm. But
which I've never actually got orange juice from, but I have seen them.
They are beautiful, beautiful. Mm, love them.
Oh well, here's one of those 50-50 things: orange juice, pulp or no pulp?
Pulp.
Pulp.
Oh, we're all pulp. That's pulp, like, yeah. Pulp, yeah. 100%. Yeah, that texture of the pulp going down your throat. I love it. I love that.
It's meaty.
I still like not pulp, but yeah. I like pulp.
Yeah. Mm. Mm. Quite high in sugar, though, I guess, isn't it?
What, the pulp itself?
Oranges are delicious.
No, the orange juice, isn't it?
Fruit.
Fruit. Although some fruits are better than others, like your pineapples, your mangoes, they're really bad. But then berries, I think they're on the better end of the scale.
I mean, they've all got some good stuff in them, but they're largely sugar. And, you know, it's not a good sugar either. It's not glucose.
Well, what do you mean, good as in tasty or good as in...
They're not outright terrible for you or anything.
Well, they're better when you eat them as a fruit rather than as a you know, blended up.
It's the same thing as sugar water, either. But glucose is the only sugar that we can actually digest.
Well, apparently, when you put it in a blender, it activates something like the sugars or something.
Sounds like some hippie mumbo fucking jumbo.
Well, but maybe, I don't know. Well, experts roll away in.
The best diet in the world, the Mediterranean diet, is heavy in fruit, so I don't know. at least has a good portion of fruit in it, so I don't know.
Yeah, but that, like, well, I mean, is a courgette a fruit?
I mean, yeah, it's not as sugary as what we call
fruit. Hang on, yeah, so what, we're having two... What's a fruit?
If you just want to get into sugars, like fucking carrots are the sugariest vegetable.
Are they? Is that why? are the carrots?
That's why carrot cake exists. Yeah.
Oh, I think, yeah.
Yeah, fruit in the everyday sense, we're talking fruits and drupes and whatever that are quite sugary, right? That's really the distinction that we. Obviously, tomatoes, melons are fruit. Pumpkins. I mean, pumpkins probably considered a fruit.
Yeah, but they're awful. They're horrible.
They smell horrible. I've never tasted a pumpkin, but I've smelled one and gone, no, nobody's.
No, I don't understand Americans eating like pumpkin pie. Like Danny will make like pumpkin muffins and pumpkin bread and stuff. I've eaten every part of the pumpkin, and no part of it tastes good. It all tastes poisonous.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another scene.
That's why sensible people just use them as Halloween decorations.
Exactly, yeah. Well, it used to be turnips. But, you know,
I know it used to be turnips. Didn't have those when we went to America, did we?
I like seeds in general, but even pumpkin seeds are fucking foul.
Oh, I don't think I've ever had pumpkin seeds. Okay,
I've ever actually directly eaten seeds before. I've had them like mixed in like granola and stuff or whatever. Or muesli. Like
poppy seeds on poppy seeds are great. Poppy seeds on bread. Yeah. That flavor.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No. Right. I mean, I have never bought a bag of seeds and ate them. I have ate seeds as part of a thing.
Never had nuts. Yeah.
You've never. Hang on. What? But, hey, wait. What? Have you? Sorry. You say again.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. Okay. I wasn't including nuts. I was more thinking.
Sunflower. I've had sunflower seeds on their own. I like sunflower seeds.
I will say poppy seed bread is fucking delicious though.
Yeah, sorry, Drew, did you say you ever had nuts or you've never had nuts?
I was asking Wing. Nuts are seeds, aren't they? Really, you know?
I also don't really eat nuts directly though. It's weird. I love muesli, which is a mix of seeds and nuts and oats. I've never bought an individual.
No, I'm the same. No, I can really enjoy muesli, but I don't. My dad used to eat nuts as a snack, and I don't dislike them. I can eat them; they're fine, but it would never be my choice as a snack.
Yeah, that's basically what I meant.
I love like cashews in curries. I love like what are the ones in the little shells called? Begins with P.
Pistachios. I love them. Pistachio. But the trouble is with them is that like the best of them are salted, and it's like a lot of salt. But like,
My man did once buy a bag of like mixed nuts, but they were covered in like chili powder, and those were nice.
Yeah. What about Bombay mix?
No. I have my dad used to like that. Not a fan at all.
Love Bombay.
It's got the worst nuts in it as well.
Peanuts.
I don't like peanuts. I mean peanuts. Yeah, not really nuts.
Peanuts are too earthy.
I feel the same way. I can eat them. I don't hate them, but I don't like them.
During times when I've been on a budget, I've used them as a very cheap snack because they're very filling. They're quite nutritious. They can be quite fatty, but you know, obviously, like moderate that approach as you will. Yeah. But they're good. They're cheap and they do fill you up. And I've always found that to be
I wish I liked peanuts because like you say, they're protein rich, and I definitely protein. Like my protein consumption affects my mood. If I'm feeling a bit rough, like if I gorge protein, I feel a lot better.
Can you have too much protein?
No, I don't think so.
I don't really like peanuts directly, but I mean, like I've had, I'm not a super fan of peanut butter, but I like it more than peanuts directly. But I have had like, I don't know, like satay chicken, and that's fine, but as well, but it's like it's in the fine category, but I prefer something else. But peanuts as peanuts are the worst kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't like peanut butter either. I like peanut butter with chocolate is fucking delicious. Peanut butter with anything else is disgusting for me.
Yeah, weirdly enough, I kind of agree.
With things, but,
yeah.
I don't know why I agree. It doesn't make sense. For some reason,
I would like to know why dogs fucking adore peanut butter because they just eat that all day.
Yeah. Well,
have you heard of? I only heard this via a Mexican on a podcast, so I don't know whether this is a Mexican thing or an American thing because I'm living in America. But boiled peanuts.
Never had that.
Sounds disgusting, but they look really good. I think they're boiled. They're not just boiled in like water. I mean, they are boiled in water, but I think it's very the water is very seasoned, like spices, and then you boil the peanuts in the water in the shells, and then I think you break them open, eat them, and it's like they're very sort of like almost like stewed. I think they're a bit softer. I've not had them. They just sound good. I would like to try boiled peanuts.
Oh.
I don't know. I mean, I'll try anything once.
I would not be opposed to trying those.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at pictures of the finished, like the outer shell looks like, I don't know, it's darker, it looks kind of like the shell has been caramelized.
Yeah. I assume you don't eat the shell. Like,
No. It's saying break them open. The penis do look different on the inside though as well.
Yeah, it looks like they're a southern US thing.
Okay. Yeah, well, a lot of southern US things seems to come over as Mexican, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, so the southern US is, you know, due to various historical factors, has the most mixed population, like in modern times. Yeah, I mean, it was Mexico, portions of it.
Yeah.
It's where the African slaves were, and their descendants still live. So I think it's a lot of mixed together cultures.
Okay.
When natural, when not just bullshit postmodern fusion nonsense, when that's a natural occurrence, I think you do get all the best of everything sort of put together. Because yeah, Southern American, you know, various form, you know, from the, you know, Tex-Mex to Louisiana.
Well, I'm sure I've said this on the podcast before, but my mind was blown when I found a Brussels sprout in my curry, which was made from the, you know, the local curry place.
Yeah.
And it's like, so they use local fruits and veg. Well, presumably, I'm guessing mostly veg. I don't know, local produce in their curries, and you know, like that fucking is great. Like, I don't know, like that kind of, like, it basically, it said to me, it's like, You there are no rules. You, like, because the thing is, I've noticed about a lot of Indian folks is that they're very adaptable, or like, they, you know, they kind of have this, like, I don't give a fuck attitude to a lot of things that I really admire. Mm. Like, there's that guy that
curry fundamentally is just like, it's a stew. It's poor people food. You know, it's the same. Every place has its stew, and like all stews are great. I love stews, and a curry is just a stew, and a stew is made of whatever's to hand and makes sense.
Yeah. But it doesn't even have to make sense. Like, fuck it. I'd never have thought about putting a Brussels sprout. Now I put Brussels sprouts in everything.
You shouldn't put Brussels sprouts in anything.
No.
I'll tell you what, I love frying. So I use like vegan bacon, but I'm guessing it works just as well with real bacon. And just frying up bacon and Brussels sprouts, and the two flavours just dance around each other. Lovely.
I don't like Brussels sprouts either, but I can see that. Yeah, I could see that bacon and Brussels sprouts.
Fair.
If you could do something to take the edge off Brussels sprouts, because I love cabbage. And like cabbage and bacon
either
as well.
Yeah. Well, there's a million philosophies on how to like produce the best Brussels sprout. Like, a lot of people will say, do not harvest Brussels sprouts until after the first frost, because that frost apparently does something to like the sugars in it, or and it makes the Brussels sprout a lot sweeter. Now, we've had Brussels sprouts from various different times of the year and various different supermarkets, all that kind of thing, and sometimes they taste a little bitter. Sometimes that bitterness has been, you know, taken away somehow.
I do think it's one of those. I think particularly with the bitter green vegetables, or the it is just a genetic thing, whether you taste it as bitter or whether you taste it as
not. I've heard that.
Yeah, because to me, Brussels sprouts are just bitter. Like, there's nothing else. There's no other flavour in there. It's just bitter, old carpet kind of taste.
A huge amount of things are like that for me.
What about kale?
That is green.
Oh, kale is just pure bitterness. Yeah, kale.
Yeah,
is,
I've tried kale. Kale, love Brussels sprouts.
I read about this. One of them is grapefruit. Like, apparently people who don't like grapefruit, they taste grapefruit as bitter. I love grapefruit, and it doesn't taste bitter to me. It's sour rather than bitter.
Yeah, I love grapefruit too.
Just to go back, because I had something I think is interesting. So this idea of, you know, it's odd to put Brussels sprouts in a curry. I think we do, especially in the West, we want to calcify external cultures.
Yeah.
And like, if you think about it, like, I mean, what a beautiful dish in an Indian restaurant is sagaloo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is that the one with potatoes? I'm trying to think of the one with potatoes in it.
I want to say yes, but I'm not super familiar.
And like, quite obviously, potatoes were not a part of Indian cuisine until we, you know, Europeans discovered America, because where we got potatoes. Similar with like Italy. Like, try to imagine Italian cuisine pre the discovery of America without tomato in it.
That always blows my mind. There was a whole Italy before tomatoes came over. Like, what the fuck did they eat? Just dry pasta, was it?
So everything's always incorporating new things that are found. That is a natural process, and we shouldn't like seek to like. Sometimes we can go like, oh, but I want authentic Indian. It's like, well, what the fuck is that? What's authentic Indian? It's a living thing.
Exactly. I got to be honest. I love my mum to bits, but trying to get her just to roast carrots instead of just boiling them. she's a really good cook, and when I went vegan, she was like super supportive and learned like loads of new recipes, did loads of vegan bacon stuff. Couldn't have been more supportive. Best mum in the world. But for some reason, she cannot get to her like very in the boomerist way. Carrots boiled on a Sunday roast. Just roast them.
I am not a fan of carrots.
Boom. Same.
But they're like, okay.
For me, my sister has roasted them the last couple of times, and I've tried, and they're better. Still not good. But also the boiled thing, just boiling everything, is like the only way people cooked here forever. I assume it's similar in England, but like everything is boiled, and you've no flavor in fucking anything.
Me, as a person who generally, as a kid, didn't really like many vegetables, and still, like, I'm introducing the ones that I enjoy, but I don't really like vegetables. So for me, the Sunday dinner thing of, like, the more flavour you boil out of those vegetables and the softer you make, because I don't like crunch, I don't like crunchy plants, so the more of the crunch you get rid of, and the more of the disgusting vegetable taste you get rid of, the better. So, like, the overboiled soft carrots, I can eat those, because they taste of nothing.
Well, you see, I'd eat the carrots, but I'd have them covered in so much gravy that I'd have removed the taste.
Or like mash them up with your roast potatoes so you can barely tell.
Oh, it makes it worse. No, you shouldn't mash anything.
I mash my roast potatoes up with
That's like mashing spuds. You don't do that.
There's room in this world for a good mash.
Roast potatoes with bread sauce and gravy, and you mash that all together into this like smooth pulp. Like, I like that. That's my version of mashed potato.
That sounds a little.
Briefly go back to Chris's vegan bacon?
The vegan bacon or baking?
Yeah, bacon.
Oh yeah.
Because I had a question about that because my brother is vegan. Mm-hmm. He does get this occasionally. Get this vegan bacon, and it's horrible.
Do you know what brand it is?
I do not know what brand it is, but I'll tell you the reason it's horrible is because it just... Like, have you ever had... Right, like smoky bacon crisps?
Yeah.
Like that artificial bacon smell. It smells like smoky bacon and artificial bacon that has been turned up to 100. Like,
that's what all Burger King burgers taste of to me. That's why I don't like Burger King. It tastes artificial bacon flavouring. Yeah.
Like, it doesn't actually smell like rashers at all.
Is
that how yours are?
Well, it's been so long since I've had bacon. I honestly couldn't give you an authoritative answer on that one. My gut tells me, because apparently, like, bacon is notoriously known as the weak, the weak link in the fake meats chain, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just... And yeah, you're not the first person to say, like, yeah, it just tastes like, like bacon flavored crisps, that kind of thing. I want to say that Rosie's relatively newly vegan, so she's got a little bit more insight, a little bit more memory of what it's. But it's been over a year now, so. There is a brand, I think it's Vivera, which. She thinks it, and she was never a big bacon fan as well, so take that for what it's worth. But like, I think it's that one. It's like a pink packaging that she really likes, and we've even had that just fried in a pan and in sandwiches. Mm. And I like that, and to me, that it might not necessarily be as good as I remember bacon to be, but it's good enough.
I think for me, bacon is such a texture. It's more a texture experience than it is a flavor experience. Because really, the flavor is quite salty.
Almost.
Well, what I was going to say is.
Varying artificialness of that.
Yeah, no.
But
real bacon has, like, the variety and, the fat has a different texture.
Yeah.
And, like, even bits of the meat and different bits of the fat have different textures. And then
yeah, you don't get that. No, that's the texture.
It's the irregularity of the texture that I think is part of what makes it enjoyable.
Although on occasion,
I do agree with that. Like if you're not, this is kind of a thing I have with most. Well, with a lot of this stuff, is that like if you're not going to, if you can't get that right, you might as well not pretend it's that.
Just have something like, else.
I have actually been eating a lot of vegetarian / vegan stuff lately because I'm not giving up meat, but I'm eating less of it.
Mm-hmm. It's a good idea to eat less, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I've been trying a lot of things over the last few months, and for like sausages, I feel like the sausages that I eat are not, they're not at all like regular sausages. They're just a sausage shaped vegan thing.
Sausages is a whole world. What do you know what brand of sausages? I don't even know if you've got the same brands of sausages here. Apparently, according to meat eaters I know. The Richmond plant based sausages are apparently okay.
Sausages seems like the easiest thing to get right because, again, it's largely texture. Not like it's got a
particular and I will say with sausages in particular, the ones that I normally eat, which are the cheap ass sausages, they're mostly filled with bread anyway. So, getting vegan and vegetarian stuff here has been practically impossible until the last, I'd say, 3 or 4 years. So, we have very new and a very limited amount of brands, but the sausages I like are the Linda McCartney ones.
Interesting. Okay. Are they the ones that are they the ones that are not like sausages and not pretending to be sausages, but
they're more sausage shaped. Chunky. But like they have like, I don't think there's a name on it. It's just the Linda McCartney sausages, but then they have a red onion version, and I really like the red onion version.
Yeah, they're good in, if they're the ones with the sort of the hard outer, as it were, they're really good in casseroles. If you ever do a sausage casserole, they hold their integrity really well. They soak up a lot of the flavor, but they don't go like gooey or anything like that. They maintain a good integrity. So you can...
I will also say the Linda McCartney burgers, which now ironically do have a little bit of that artificialness flavoring to them for the burger, but they're made of soy and mozzarella.
They're vegetarian, not vegan.
Yeah, but they've got like chunks of mozzarella in it. It actually is dripping out when you're cooking it. Those are actually just genuinely on their own. Delicious, not even as a meat alternative. And I think that is what I really want.
Just something that tastes good.
Vegetarian stuff. Yeah. You shouldn't be aiming to replicate meat. Make it good on its own. Like that. Like I never would have thought.
I've been thinking about it since we're talking about
they're delicious. They're kind of expensive, the Linda McCartney stuff, I will say, but that is the case for all vegetarian and vegan stuff here. I'm not every one of the brands is annoyingly more expensive than the meat alternative.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's because the only stuff available is the branded stuff. The UK, we have Tesco and most supermarkets will do their own plant-based range. The Tesco one is called Plant Chef. And for its price, which I'm pretty sure are on par with their meat alternatives, if not a little cheaper, I don't want to say like excellent, but for the price, excellent. Asda, I've seen the plant-based burgers from Asda to be quite cheap as well. Lidl is the best place that I've found, but I think a lot of it depends on location because the Chepstow Tesco has amazing vegan options, but the local Tescos around here in the Forest Dean, they have some, but not nowhere near as much. But the Tesco's and Chepstow, of course, and Chepstow in general, it's quite near Bristol, which has more vegans per capita than I think anywhere else in the world. So
interesting.
I'm quite...
That is interesting, because the Tesco here, definitely, I've checked, the local one is an express, so that doesn't really count. But like the big one in town... that does not have their own brand vegan stuff, I've looked.
Which is
interesting. However, was the first places to actually start doing vegan and vegetarian stuff was Lidl and Aldi here, which is interesting.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. I did want to say with regard to like copying things versus just making tasty food and you know thinking about curries. I've linked this before. I love this video. This is I put it in main chat, so you can be able to find
that's
it.
A great video.
Yeah. So Sikh temple in New Delhi, and they feed 100,000 people at peak a day, and they're just making huge vats of curry and various dishes, and it's not vegan, but it is all vegetarian, and it just watch that video. It just makes me hungry every time. It looks amazing. And anybody, you just go to this temple. You go to the Sikh temple. They will feed anybody. You get a full meal just for free. You know, fucking great.
Fucking like the way they're cooking all of the bread. Is it naan? I don't know. It might be naan.
Pressure run.
That machine Rusty, they have is fucking cool. That's a cool.
And they're doing a lot of them by hand as well. You got like old ladies making rotis by hands, and but the massive vats of like curry and stuff. It looks. But it's made in enormous quantities, but it's made clearly like with love by human hands. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I mean, the giant vats and stuff are more to cook a lot of it at once, but a lot of the preparation and stuff is hands.
I tried to put on the video for the benefit of the podcast, but I'm in the Discord app, and and I've got two adverts to get through to watch it, and I can't mute them, so I can't like run them play as you're talking. Fuck you, YouTube.
My point is
the Discord embedded YouTube, because that used to be fine. That used to actually skip ads and everything, but then they made a deal with YouTube, and now it plays ads, and half the time you click on a video and it won't even play in Discord because whoever uploaded it will have set to not allow it to be played outside of YouTube, and it's
that cuisine is not trying to mimic anything, you know, like the vegetarian curries that in India that arise from a vegetarian religion and culture. Like it's not trying to be hamburgers or anything, you know. It's just delicious.
When I say I don't want it to mimic stuff, I do. Like there are things that I just consider shapes, like sausages and burgers. I consider shapes more than anything.
Shapes,
Because there is that sort of like industry movement. I think the EU banned referring to like oat milk as milk and
burgers. I don't actually like milk. Like I've never actually liked milk. I've don't mind milk as an ingredient in things, but I don't drink milk. But I'll drink oat milk.
See, because
I drank milk a lot as a child, and I used to eat bowls of cereal a lot when I was younger, like well into my like 20s. I just stopped at some point. I just stopped. I don't have any milk now.
But the thing is, right? So even here in the UK, when you get like a carton of oat milk, it's oat drink, and I've got to think: were people ever getting confused that like were they buying oat milk?
I think oats are a mammal.
Yeah.
Is that the problem?
Maybe that was I
have always found this argument to be like utterly stupid, because I'm very sure particularly oat milk has been referred to as oat milk for a very long time. Oat milk is just a byproduct of cooking oats. Like it's
That's got to be the milk industry pushing back.
Definitely.
I will say, with that entire argument, one of the funniest things I've ever... I can't remember who it was, but there is a video of some American politician getting very angry at this and screaming, "Almonds can't lactate," and it was fucking hilarious.
He's just not been trying hard enough.
We know that for sure. Yeah, has that been started?
Exactly. But yeah, I do find that is just industry bullshit, because milk is, again, it feels like a substance, especially because word we've used for, like, milk has not never been exclusively.
Yeah. And also, like, you've had coconut milk and coconut
milk
milk's
of magnesia.
Been around.
Milk of magnesia. Do they believe magnesium is a mammal?
Yeah.
What I find to be slightly irritating about it as well is that it's called oat drink, right? But you don't tend to have a glass of oat milk, right? You tend to put it in tea, but like it, you know, you can put a bit in your tea and then it sort of becomes a drink, but like you can also put it in cooking and baking.
Oat ingredient. It is clearly its primary use as a milk substitute.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So in that case, maybe oat milk substitute? Like, I'd be okay with... I mean, I'd rather not, you know, kowtow to the fucking milk board or whatever, because it is a It's a largely
But see,
pointless industry.
then didn't say you have milk on the packaging, because this, I believe, that has been a part of the whole conversation. I will say I have seen in my looking around of vegetarian and vegan stuff, there are some brands that make it very not obvious what the fuck they are. There are cutesy vegan names for things.
Oh right, yeah.
That exists.
If you're a new up and coming vegan, you're going to be like, what the fuck do I eat?
I really hate the cutesy name. Like, Frickin seems to be a common one for chicken. There's a company here called now, and the company name really does not help this. They're called Sons of Butchers. I understand from looking at the people running it and the company, they are quite literally the family has been butchers for a very long time, and they are changing to doing vegetarian stuff.
Okay, the name
makes sense, but also
I hate the cutesification of everything. I hate when you open Discord and it's like, I'm your pal, here's the new features, here's a fucking cartoon character to tell you about, like, and it's the same thing. Butchers can just be called like Peshwari and Sons, you know, whatever, like, it's fine, just a name. We don't need everything to be feel like a brand for fucking
to be honest, vegan stuff can be quite bad for that kind of stuff as well. I don't know if they just try and go hard in the marketing to break into new, you know, areas or whatever.
I think, for example, this looks very thick for mince, but like, I feel mince, like if you're just running past the aisle, you see butchers and mince, you might well pick that up.
That's fairly smart marketing, actually, that one. Yeah, I don't mind
mince,
that.
Mince cheat.
Yeah.
At a glance, that reads like mince, which is what you want.
Yeah. I've not actually tried that. Their stuff is very expensive. I've not tried any of it, but I'm curious.
Yeah, that cutesiness, I think it's something that, like, middle class metropolitan unbearable twats respond to favorably, I would imagine.
I mean, besides for all that processed stuff, I do have actually been eating tofu a good bit, and that's quite nice when you put it in like curries.
Tofu's good,
tofu's great. There's a brand called This Isn't Chicken, or This Isn't Beef, or This Isn't Beef Burgers, or things like that. This is the name of the company, and they've started pivoting to sort of vague meat substitutes that aren't based on a specific meat. So I guess it's probably closer. So it's like slabs of like protein rich, salty, like made out of chickpeas, or like sort of almost like a nut loaf. Like, or is that what they call it? Like, what it used to be like the vegan replacement for everything. A nut loaf, nut roast or something like that.
Yeah, nut loaf was the thing. Yeah.
It's sort of like that, but like kind of generally, I quite like it. And I like the texture as well. It's kind of like it, because it has that meaty hit. Like, it's like,
and I think that's I mean, I think if you were a vegan in the 80s, like, well done, that must have been awful. But I think a lot of work is done to find that, because again, I think food is so much about texture. Like, it's finding the right textures that can replicate, you know, certain eating whatever's like.
And that's something I do use a lot of chickpeas is like my kind of have gone to defaulting to for curries, for a cheap curry.
Lentils, just like, I mean, they're a pain in the ass. You have to boil them for a long time. But like,
they are a pain in the ass, but like we put lentils in curry even when we're doing a chicken curry, because
they bulk out. They're very protein rich, so it'll fill you up. You'll feel like you've had a meal, like lentils in curry.
Yeah,
and obviously because it's curry, they taste amazing.
Yeah, and cheap, very cheap as well.
I use chickpeas and tofu a lot because, I mean, it's becoming better. But because a lot of the vegan or vegetarian vegan alternatives here are mushroom based, and I hate mushrooms.
I love mushrooms.
Spiced. It was like the default substitute here for ages.
Well, they've got that meaty. They give that.
With alternatives. Going more soy or chickpea based kind of stuff.
We sort of touched on this before, but if you want something to taste meaty and be vegan, like just stick Marmite in.
Yeah, Marmite. As a vegan hot tip, Marmite, B12, good source of B12.
Yes. Yeah.
B12 can be a little bit tricky to get hold of if you're a vegan. So things like nutritional yeast or whatever. But like, if you want something just off the shelf vegan, and useful in all kinds of ways. Like, because I don't like Marmite like raw, but a scoop of that in a curry, or a scoop of that in a stew, a scoop of that, use it as a vegetable stock. It's excellent. The only thing I will say about it is it's gooey. Like, it's like
It's like honey almost.
Yeah. Like trying to get a spoonful of it and not make a mess requires a little bit of practice and skill. But yeah, no, Marmite is excellent. That's not too expensive as well. Because
I'm having like the cheap knockoff Marmite from Aldi or whatever, and it's the texture is actually slightly different, but it tastes exactly the same. Yeah, the knockoff Marmite. I mean, it's yeast extra. It's made out of it's a byproduct of beer brewing. Like it's not a secret recipe. You know? any knockoff Marmite is fine.
Yeah. Although one thing that has tripped me up as well is using it along with other like stocks and herbs and stuff can make something quite salty, because Marmite itself is quite salty. So you always got to weigh that. Because I remember I made something, what was it? Oh, a pasta sauce, and I put a spoonful of Marmite in that. outside of the UK, is Marmite known as Vegemite?
No, Vegemite's a different thing. It's still a yeast extra thing, but they taste different.
Okay.
Vegemite is milder and sweeter.
Okay.
Same broth. Thing, but
so what is Marmite referred to when it's not brand named?
A yeast extract.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Despite Vegemite also being yeast extract.
Yes, yeah, they're both yeast extracts, but yeah, they're different. I mean, it's the same. It's the same fundamental thing, but different flavor.
Yeah. See, they should let people. See, should they just be allowed to be able to call it like a Marmite? Can we just like drop the trademark on Marmite? Just decide that we're not going to fucking.
I think trademark. We're anti copyright. I think we're all anti copyright. I think we should just get rid of copyright.
Yeah.
I think trademarks can be useful. I think trademarks are fair enough.
I don't know. I feel like when something has become. I mean, this is why companies fight this a lot. Because you do get generics like I don't know, Sellotape or
Hoover.
Portaloo.
Velcro is a big one. Velcro, I always remember Velcro because they fight hard at every turn to keep the name Velcro.
What's the generic term for Velcro? What do you call it?
If you go to Velcro's website, they will refer to it as hook and loop tape, which is ridiculous.
Hook and loop tape.
Be reasonable.
It's ridiculous. Velcro rules off the tongue.
About generically, we call it Velcront.
Yeah. But that's, I get, like, trademark has a point in a similar way to, like, how crediting the artist has a point, right? Like,
No, it's not that for me. I don't care about crediting artists. They go fuck themselves as long as they get paid. It's a maker's mark. It's a mark of, if you were expecting... You've used this maker before, you know it's of a certain quality, you care about that in this moment, I'll just get that one because I know it'll be reasonable quality.
Yeah, because what you don't want is other people selling HP sauce or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then just, I get that sort of...
Yeah. Well, there was actually somewhat of a similar case there in Ireland where they won. Again, there's a restaurant chain here called Supermax. They have a burger called a Big Mac, and they won against McDonald's.
Really?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Well, I think
they only won because they existed here. They're all because they're Irish. They existed here before McDonald's got here.
Right.
But also, as I understand it, and I don't know if Irish and UK laws differ on this, but is the legal argument largely based around the fact that one person is likely to confuse a product for another? Like, it does confusion occur?
I believe so, but there's a lot of get outs around that. I do think if your company is like your name, you've like basically forfeited all rights to that, because you know anybody can have your fucking name. Like if you're I don't know. I was trying to think of a last name. Because I know I have seen several of these cases come up, but I don't know, you have...
I mean, McDonald's is going to be a name that you get
McDonald's
in Ireland.
Is a name.
Marks and Spencer.
Yeah.
But like, also,
you can't really.
Yeah,
it's the same as with Apple. Like, there was that case in America, but like, there was another Apple's computers, but like, Apple couldn't shut them down because it's just a fucking fruit.
It's pre-existing. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But also, if you're Apple's, then they can't really come after you.
If it's in a different, I believe there's a lawsuit between Apple Computers and Apple Records. But because they're operating, if you're operating in different arenas, it doesn't apply. But then I think that became a thing. It might have become, or at least it was mentioned again when Apple became the world's number one music distributor with iTunes. Then that became pertinent again because they are operating in the same.
Yeah, but it's iTunes, obviously. Not Apple. Right, different branding,
yeah,
right?
Well, yeah, it's Apple.
Now they've actually dropped the iTunes name because it is just called Apple Music now.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. See, iTunes was good branding. It's weird when stores drop good branding decisions.
Oh, I didn't like iTunes. I don't like iTunes.
But people knew what iTunes is.
I mean, Google did the same thing. They had a different name for fucking everything, and now it's all just Google. Like, YouTube's the only thing they haven't pulled back.
Yeah, a lot of it was companies they bought, and then eventually they were like, let's call this Google,
Google had their own music store and their own video store and whatever.
They probably bought.
What used to be Google Videos YouTube.
Yeah.
Well, Google Videos was just straight up shut down because they bought YouTube, and then Google Videos and YouTube, did they coexist for a while?
Hello?
Oh, have we lost Wing?
Have I lost Discord?
He's lost us. Hang on a minute, have I lost Drew? Oh, okay. Let's have a look. Where are we? What's going on? Okay. Let's see. I'm coming through. Right. Let's have a look. Let's reconnect and disconnect.
Beating endpoint.
Okay, I'm hearing things again.
Okay, yeah.
Discord's coming through.
Okay.
All right, that was weird.
I have just got a pop-up on the top of Discord saying, how is Discord working for you? Give feedback. I'm not sure if that's a coincidence.
where are we? We're in automatic, so that should be... Anyway, yeah, just a blip, I guess.
Well, blips happen.
Funny we were using a real network.
Yeah. I mean, I do wonder what we would use if Discord went bye-bye.
Well, Wing was referring... Do we want to get into Reticulum? I think Reticulum needs to be its own video.
Okay. It's a very long...
big topic. Yeah.
Okay. Well, for what it's worth... I'm on work for 2 days, and then I got another day off. So,
oh, beautiful! Nice. We should do something.
Yeah. And also, Rosie very much enjoyed the games the other night. So,
good. What did you think of? It's maybe not the right place to wear this, but what did you think of Blood on the Clock Tower? Did you enjoy it?
I really enjoyed Blood on the Clock Tower. I will say that being the bad guy, like, was a little bit.
Stressful,
but not in a bad way.
You played it very well.
You played it perfectly, actually. Yeah, you both did. Yeah. Apart from the very first, the very first thing you both asked was Wing asked the question about the minion, and you asked the question about the demon. I was like, for fuck's sake!
I felt like my question was very open ended.
Yeah, I did.
It's one on one or the other, like that can slip, but both of them rock literally one after the other. I was like, come on. you got away with it.
If this might be the best place for this. We need more people for Blood on the Clock Tower. So if you want to join, come to the Discord.
If you want to play Blood on the Clock Tower should I just very briefly say
Okay.
So it's kinda like Werewolf or Mafia. It's a social deduction game. Where everybody has like a role, but in Blood on the Clock Tower, everybody has a role. Everybody has a specific role, a specific power, a specific cool thing they can do. We play it on Discord. Has a day-night cycle where villagers can try and execute the demon. At the night, the demon can kill people, and it's working out who you can trust, using your power, sharing information, trying to work out how the baddie is. And it lasts an hour or two. It lasted a couple of hours the one we played. But we played it we had five players and me running it. It plays best with like 8+, so we're looking for more people.
That was the bare minimum.
That was the absolute bare minimum, was 5, yeah. And I think it was still, I enjoyed running it. I think it still worked out
very well, but you could tell, we ended up with too few people too quickly.
Yeah.
I think if we had one more person there, we wouldn't have won because we were kind of found out at that stage. But at that point, we'd outnumbered them for votes.
And then I tried to throw Wing under the bus.
I did, yeah, similarly.
Danny's actually got into the videos. She's been watching the videos that got me into it. And she's interested in both playing and running it.
Okay.
So the potential that, like, if we carry on playing it, like, we could maybe take turns running it and the other one could play it, which would be fun.
Okay. Do you think you're up to playing it, though? Because I know these games give you anxiety.
I think so. I think I need to... if I run a few, that'll make me comfortable enough with it that I'm, on a good day, able to play it and withstand the anxiety of being the baddie.
I've got a question about how the game went down.
Anxiety is the real demon.
Yeah. So I, for the whole game, had no idea that Wing was the poisoner.
Told at the beginning... Oh, sorry. You didn't know he was your minion, or you didn't know his role?
I didn't know he was his role, that he was the poisoner.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you have to talk to each other. Fine.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
We found it very hard to get time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and also it's suspicious. It's suspicious if you keep. Especially,
it's suspicious,
you,
yeah. I think
generally
quite
the minion.
Well,
I was just going to generally the minion and the demon, you generally don't want to meet on the first night because people are looking for that. Mm-hmm. And you certainly don't want to meet too often because people are looking for that.
Well, the thing is, because I think.
There was generally always somebody else in the same room as us, and it was very hard. Like, I think at one point, I think it was Subderm, left the room. I shouted something at Chris, and then I left.
You shouted, kill yourself. Or, like,
I did.
Kill yourself tonight.
That is a strategy. Yeah. It was a strategy, and then I had to get back to him because. Strategies had changed and he needed to tell him not to kill himself.
Yeah.
No, but I love it's one of the things I love watching it. It's one of the things I loved, you know, running the one we were running. Yeah, you two trying to talk, and every time it's just you two in a room, somebody would join, and you're like, I think you should kill. Oh, how are you doing, Dubdo?
Well, the thing is, I think the fact that I never quite worked out that, that Wing was the poisoner worked in my benefit because I think it was Hamish was like, I think Rosie might be drunk.
Yes,
and it's like, and I was like, oh, yeah, possibly, yeah. And
For people listening, the drunk is an out. So, in the setup, there are townsfolk who are the goodies. There are outsiders who are also goodies, but they have problematic powers. And then there's the demon and the minions. In this script, there's only one demon. In the more advanced scripts, there's several demons, and working out which demon you're up against is very important in terms of how to proceed and deal with it. Anyway, so the drunk is an outsider, so it's a goodie with a problematic power, and the drunk, through the entire game, believes that they're one character, but they're actually the drunk, and all their information will be incorrect. So they can they can sow some real fucking trouble if
now,
they're repeating information.
The drunk is a character, but also a person can be drunk. Is that two different things?
It's two different things. I don't think there's anybody who can make people drunk in the script we're playing.
I pick someone every night, and then they get the wrong information the next day. Or for that night.
Being made poisoned or being made drunk means that you will get wrong information. But the wrong information... is at the storyteller, that would be me running it. It's at our discretion. So if somebody's drunk or poisoned, the primary thing we're trying to do is not clue them in onto the fact that they're drunk or poisoned. So we're trying to give them plausible information. Sometimes we'll tell them the truth. Basically, we're just trying to mislead them.
And as a storyteller...
In a more advanced script, there is a demon called Devortox who makes all information false, and that's not at our discretion. You'll always get something that is definitively not true. So... you can piece that together and flip all your information kind of thing.
Okay.
But sorry, man.
I've lost my thread. I don't know. But yeah, no. Yes, really enjoyed it. Rosie also really likes the drawing games that we play as well.
I like those drawing games.
Gartic Foam, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice, no, they're easy, some of my favourites. Yeah.
Last night we played a bit of Saboteur. I've played Saboteur before and I've never really enjoyed it. But last night, for some reason, it was really enjoyable.
Which one's Saboteur?
Saboteur is you're a bunch of, I think officially you're dwarfs, but I've got gnomes in my head. So you're gnomes who are trying to mine your way. There's three targets. One of them is gold. They're all covered up, but there's a card that can reveal it. The three targets at the end. One's gold, the other two are cold. And the goodies are trying to get to the gold. And the saboteurs, there'll be one, you know, in the kind of size of games we play, there'll be one or two saboteurs. and we're trying to prevent them from getting to the gold. So it's like consuming yourself for as long as you can and being like, oh, sorry, that was a mistake. It plays quite rapidly. And yeah, we had a game
in last night's game, me and Drew started off as saboteurs, but both of us also happened to get cards that revealed their map cards that tell you, you pick one of the three end cards and it would tell you what it is. Both of us picked the same one and told everyone they were the opposite thing.
Yeah, so I didn't know Wing was the other, I didn't know Wing was the saboteur. I thought I was the lone saboteur. So Wing was telling them the truth, and I
played the bad guy by telling everybody the truth.
Yes, and I disagreed with you, which means they've got two people to worry about.
I threw Drew under the bus immediately, and it worked out, and we won.
Yep.
So yeah, so basically, what whichever one they ended up trusting.
Yeah.
Would guide them to their demise.
Guide them wrong. Yeah.
Gerald Fun Games. We also played Secret Hitler, which I'd never played before.
I've never played
very
that.
Basic version. Very basic version of them, these games.
Secret Hitler is the most basic social deduction game. I think Avalon's a better game, but Hitler's a very easy one to get into. Like, you do not... Like, it's 2 minutes and you can play.
Yeah. Spyfall I like as well.
I love Spyfall. We should do some Spyfall.
Yeah.
You should absolutely do some Spyfall. I adore Spyfall.
Yeah. Oh, I'm surprised. I didn't realize you liked it as much as I did.
No, I really love Spyfall. Danny's in because social deduction games seem to be becoming a thing in our community.
Mm-hmm.
She's trying to practice lying. She's really uncomfortable. She's not naturally predisposed to lying, and she's trying to practice lying. And I think Spyfall would actually be a good one for that.
Yeah.
Was she all right after yesterday? Because I wasn't sure whether she was enjoying Secret Hitler or not.
I don't think she knew whether she was enjoying it or not. Being a fascist twice in a row, I think, was a bit stressful. Yeah, I think she was a bit stressed out by it, but I think she enjoyed it. She wants to get more comfortable with it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I think both me and Drew said this, but like we're similar in real life in that I won't really lie to people, but if I'm playing a game, I fucking love these games.
Love deceiving people. Love tricking, loving getting, you know, putting one over them, making them.
I think it also kind of works out because this has happened. It has happened several times. Like when we were playing Blood in the Clock Tower, no reason at all. People just trusted me. I was being told all the information from the get-go.
Well, I don't think. I'm not sure you were university. I think people would say I don't know, like because there were certainly some people. I think Hamish didn't.
Okay, not everybody, but like Subderm and Rosie for a lot of the game until I refused to answer a question.
I think you were trusted early on, which is good. And then basically you drew the heat from Chris in the later few turns. And I think I think you both played your parts very well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think I love the social, because one of the things I love about Blood on the Clock Tower is if you've got an analytic mind, if you've got the kind of mind you can gather bits of information and then put them into pictures that, like, this could be a logical picture, this could be a logical picture, this could be a logical picture, and then work out which one of them fits the facts better, the game is great for you. If, like me, you're shit at that, but you enjoy the social side, you enjoy trying to read people and, you know, work out who's trustworthy through social clues and stuff, and then pass information to the analytical people, then it works for that as well. It works for both. There's a lot of social deduction games that suit one or the other, but Blood on the Clock Tower, it very much suits both. And I love that personalities come into it so much. I think Wing and I actually are quite good at reading each other. I think when we're both on the good team, I think we recognise that fairly early, and we establish trust quite early.
Yeah, does seem to be the case, doesn't it?
I can't even tell you exactly what it is. Yeah, no, it's just some social thing. And there's other people I just can't read.
Yeah,
there's people I just absolutely can't
read. I will say Subderm was very much doing the analytical thing, but he had us pinned very, or he had Chris pinned very early.
Yeah,
rather he had Chris pinned very early, but he made the mistake of telling me this.
and then I managed to pivot the mob against him.
Yeah, he did. That was
you as the demon were on the block being voted for. You somehow managed to turn it around and have your accuser executed, which was masterful.
I never thought that was going to work. Yeah. Oh man.
Hamish was dead set against you, and he even managed to change his mind.
Yeah.
And that's
another thing about this game that is really good, because it does go on for a while as well, But if you are dead, you're not out of the game. You're still playing.
Yeah, that's
one very different thing from all of the other ones.
Yeah.
90% of the game is talking to people, gathering information, putting information together, and you continue doing that, unlike Werewolf and Mafia, where when you're dead, you're just out of the game and you just got to sit and watch the game.
The only real downside is your powers don't work, and also you only get one vote for the rest of the game. So that makes you very important. What your vote is very important.
Even as a good player, being good and dying can be useful for the team. It can establish that you are who you say you are. It can help other players that get information when characters die, get information. But also,
Subderm was... Wasn't he a character? He was the gravedigger, right?
He was the chef.
Oh, the chef. Am I right in thinking that the chef's powers only work if they were killed by the demon? So me managing...
That was somebody you were buffing as, maybe? I can't remember now.
No, I are you sure it's not Sub? No, who else was I?
Subdom was the chef, which starts... I'm just reading from the wiki. You start knowing how many pairs of evil players there are, i.e. how many evil players are sitting next to each other.
Because I thought I was getting sub... Oh, no, no, that was... Wasn't that... I can't... Wasn't that, was that my lie? Was that like, you've got to kill Subdom here? Yeah, kill Subdom because...
Ravenkeeper. You had the Ravenkeeper bluff. Yeah, you were bluffing as Ravenkeeper.
And didn't I say, if the mob kills Subdom, then the demon doesn't benefit from their death or something like that?
You were bluffing as the Ravenkeeper. The Ravenkeeper's power reads, if you die at night, i.e. if you're killed by the demon at night, you are woken to choose a player. You learn their character. So you learn what their role is. So your argument was, even though I'm outed now as the Ravenkeeper, the demon won't kill me, but that's actually a benefit because it's one more good player going into the final round. I think your argument was something like that.
Something like that, yeah. But we don't want the mob to kill me. We want to try and get the demon to kill me because at least
with so few players left, the demon will be forced to kill you, and then your power activates and blah blah blah. That was your argument. Yeah, that was something it. It was like good. That, yeah. Very strong argument.
Moreover,
I think the argument was strong, but also moreover, your delivery convinced people. I was actually worried about you, Chris, playing the evil character because I've played games like Whitechapel Mysteries or whatever it's called, Whitechapel Murder with you. And when you are Jack, when you are the murderer, you love telling the good players what your plan is. You love talking us through how smart you're being. It's not that. You just love coming to decisions through conversation.
Yeah.
And you as the bad player, your instincts were to do that in Blood, and I was worried that that would happen in Blood in the Clock Tower, but you didn't. You kept a complete lid on that. You did really well.
I'm surprised at myself, if I'm completely honest, because I've never won a game of Whitechapel Mystery.
Yeah, I mean that is hard. That is stacked against Jack in that game. It's harder for Jack to win than for the goodies to win on that one. But I mean, you've got very close.
I've gotten pretty close, but the thing is,
we should have another game of that sometime with Rosie. Maybe that could be.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I do kind of want to. Yeah, I do kind of want to play that one again as well because I want to at least win once.
You want to win? yeah. It is hard. It's very hard as Jack.
Yeah, but. Anyway, I don't know if this last bit of conversation was just entirely like inside chat or whether or not we've managed to convince people to maybe join the Discord and play some of the games that we play because it's fun. It's little party games. They're pretty casual, so you don't have to be good at games or anything like that. It's all...
None of us are like sore losers or about like we play to win, but it's fun. We don't focus on the Hamish aside, maybe. Danny a little bit as well. But we're mostly like, we're good winners, we're good losers. It's for the fun of it.
Yeah. Oh, I want to see if I can try and get Rosie into Left 4 Dead 2. That could be a laugh.
That would be fun, yeah.
Yeah. I think she'll like Among Us, because we were talking about playing that at some point as well. Oh, also, one thing I did want to talk about, because I haven't shut up about it forever, is, I finally privated my YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah.
So I haven't deleted it. I don't know if it'll look like it's deleted or it certainly won't be like viewable.
It looks like it's deleted, yeah. It looks like it.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It actually, I had you, I refreshed my new pipe and I've got an error about your channel.
Oh, interesting.
Earlier today, pops up, says that channel doesn't exist anymore. Do you want to remove it?
Oh, okay. So, I mean, for anyone that cares, the archive of my videos is available on my website. But to be honest, most of those videos, like, they're old and out of date and not really worth, you know.
It's available on your website. Which website is that, and where is it available? Is it just a link on the front? Is it chrisware.wales?
Yeah. Chrisware.wales. There's a link.
I glanced at it the other day and I couldn't see it.
Could you not?
There's a video archive button there under the where you can find me. So.
There it is. Yeah, video archive. Okay.
Yeah. So I got Mastodon, I got the PeerTube, I got the Owncast, which is the Freebooters Owncast, Discord, which is our Discord room, and a video archive, which just takes you to a place where you can just download them if you want.
Mm.
Is this your entire channel?
It's not only is it my entire channel, it's other stuff I've done on other channels, appearances on other shows, stuff like projects I've worked on in the past. There's some live stream archives.
How much is that in total, just out of interest? Like file size? I'm sure I can
find it. Hang on a minute. Oops.
Hang on a minute. I don't see the total folder file size, but his YouTube folder on its own is 28.79 gigs, according to this.
Okay, that's not bad, is it, something really? Like that. I can try and. I can't
see.
Oh,
I see. Yeah,
there's a lot more here, but that's just.
About 300 gig.
That's not bad.
Yeah, okay. That's not bad at all, isn't it? Really?
No, not really.
How many years have you been doing your YouTube channel?
I don't know. 16 for my first video. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff that I did early on doesn't exist anymore because it was shit.
I assume your YouTube channel download is, I don't know, it must be in 720 or something.
Yeah, 720, yeah.
The YouTube channel is actually smaller than the Freebooters.
Yeah, it's all. Yes, 30 gig for the whole thing, but it is all 720. Yeah,
no, 720 is fine.
That's half the size of a video game I downloaded the other day.
So. Yeah. But 720 is fine because, like, again, half, like, who's going to care about distro reviews from fucking 10 years ago?
I mean. Because I put videos on my own website and I have one recorded that's not a game for once that I will be putting up shortly after I do the second one. I've also been looking at file size again. But I think, what did I say that came out at?
300 meg or something like that?
Do you...
And what sort of resolution are we talking about for these videos?
This is 1080.
Okay, so yeah.
At a 1080p video that is, oh my god, if I fucking get to it. It is 1080p and it is, how long is the video? It's a 20-minute video, 1080p. It is 262 meg.
Wow, how did you get it so small?
I bumped it down to 30 frames a second, if that helps. Because when I opened it to edit in KDN Live, it had actually defaulted to 60 without me realizing. So when I was... near the end, I was like, that's like it was coming out at like 600 meg, and I bumped it down to 30 and it came down by half. Obviously,
yeah, it's also fairly not super busy frames, right? A lot of
it's super busy, it's not super busy. It is my Reticulum video about how to get started. But I will be putting that up after I do the next one, which is telling you how to actually use it with anything.
Ooh. Okay, interesting. Yeah, I mean, if I ever do video outside of PeerTube, I think I'm going to be hosting it on my website as well.
It's very easy.
Yeah,
I mean, as much as we derail modern HTML, the video element was a good one.
Yeah,
because that's all I use. It's literally just a video tag and. I have.
Yeah, that is easier than ever, isn't it? Just hosting a video. No Flash plugin, none of that bullshit, no Java player or whatever.
That was a good addition, as was the audio tag.
Yeah.
Although the little bash script I does video, like Plock, but video, Vlock.
That uses the audio tag, I assume.
And it doesn't. It just links to the MP4 file.
I mean, yeah, why not? Yeah, that's perfectly fine as well. Yeah.
It just opens it up in the window. It's like, it depends what you want, really. If you want stuff around it, like, you know, a home button. Because didn't you say you wanted to do tags at some point on your swing? Some way of organizing it?
Tags exist, and I do tag stuff, but they they don't do anything at the moment.
Okay, yeah. But I just run a, it's very basic. It's just a list of titles and then it just links straight directly to the MP4. I do sometimes think about whether or not I should find some way to put thumbnails in. Does that, I don't know where I stand on thumbnails. Because I don't.
Well, yeah. See, on mine, for the game video section I've got, I have just taken a random frame and used that as a thumbnail. So I do have my videos set up as a kind of gallery-like thing. So they are a rows of thumbnails. They were originally just a list of links, the same as my blog posts, but I was like, I'll see how this goes. The reason why I went with thumbnails, and I really wasn't going to originally, because I was like, I don't want to load this amount of images. But what I ended up doing, actually, was converting all my thumbnails to WebP, and they're literally like 100 KB per image at that.
Yeah.
Because they only need to be very small, it doesn't matter. So I'm like, I can load 100 of these and it's fine.
Yeah.
So that kind of changed my mind. Also, okay, it looks nice. But at the same time, at any time, I could just change it back to a list of links if I want. It's not that big of a deal. Because for, like, the way my templating system works is that it will, I grab all my markdown files and my metadata file that goes along with it, but they all specify a template to use, but the template is literally just a script that spits out a string, and whatever comes out there is the HTML. So mine is, slightly different than I've done in the past.
Okay, yeah. Mine just reads a directory and then, just lists what's in the directory, really.
I have, mine is weirdly both, it's more complicated in some ways, but much simpler in other ways than the past ones I've done.
Yours is, you've honed in on exactly what you want to do, haven't you?
It's kind of, basically.
Not really the right word, but it's kind of over-engineered, but very simple.
I think in the past, I kind of, the static, because I've built like, I don't know, five of them at this point, but in the past, I was kind of modelling them on what I expected the static site generator to be, rather than what I actually wanted. And because like, if you go and find static, if you just look for a static site generator, it's going to take a bunch of markdown files, it's going to create an output directory, and it's going to mirror them as HTML files from your input directory, which is basically what I did. But now I've gone, fuck that, I don't want that. Every single page is its own directory, and the markdown and HTML files and anything else that page needs all live in the same directory. So I just upload, I just rsync my entire fucking root folder, and that has everything. And I also don't have, and one, the thing that always annoyed me about these things is having the YAML at the top of the markdown file. I hate that. So I just have my metadata as a separate file that again lives in the same directory as the page itself. So you can go to any page on my website and do / metadata.properties, and you can just get all the metadata that's on that page. And it's just,
what, you are very anti YAML, aren't you? You do hate fucking YAML.
I despise YAML with a passion. The thing is, YAML seems simple enough when all you're doing is key equals values.
It's
annoying.
I like YAML in its very simplistic use. I think it's very good for that.
Which is when it doesn't need to be YAML is the thing. To be fair, it's space separated. It has four or six different values, true or false can be, which is ridiculous. Because a true can be a yes, or I think it can be one. I'm not sure, but it can definitely be yes or true.
And then false or no. Does capitalization matter? There's always that as well.
It does as well.
Yeah.
I mean, Blop uses YAML in inverted commas. Like, it looks like YAML, but it's not really YAML. I'm just setting it. Like, I'm not using a YAML. I'm just setting it.
that said command, the big bit that you've commented as messy bit that does the stuff. I cannot get my head around that.
I do love occasionally looking at a Drew script because
just said
Because Drew made his own launcher thing with Fuzzy Finder, and I'm using it on my I'm not using it on my main computer. I'm using it on the other one in the sitting room. But I remember looking at that and going, just yeah. I mean, that's not even it's not even that bad, that one. But like, there is something in it. I can't remember what it is. I think it's the way you like unhook it from the program, and I've no idea how it works.
That was just trial and error trying to get something that
Yeah.
works on most terminals. Yeah, that was horrible.
I do love looking at Drew's fucking Frankenstein seds. They're just
Yeah, the way I arrive at those said commands is I'm just doing it on the command line, like with a test string, until it works, and then I'm like, that'll fucking do. I don't try and refine it down to something neater or anything. I'm just like, I'm done at that point. It works.
I need to get better with said commands.
I do love that.
Yeah, it's all right. It's just I just need to practice it, I think, more than anything else.
It's regex, isn't it? I mean, sed itself is very simple, but it's like it's regex that's the head fuck. And, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's also the problem is sed doesn't use the regex you've probably encountered in other
No, it's
places,
limited. It's a more limited
which is
version
what
of regex.
if
Yeah.
yeah, because I was doing something. I can't even remember what was I doing.
I remember it, but I don't remember why.
I had been doing the regex on a website. Because there's a website called Regexer, and it's very handy because it highlights parts that are going to change and stuff like that. And I got exactly what I needed. Pasted and said didn't work. I ended up having to actually use it via Perl.
Yeah, that's generally if it doesn't if it's in extended regex, then sed dash uppercase E will access extended regex, but then that's not quite PGCRE, I don't think. So yeah, it's basically normal sed dash uppercase E. If that doesn't work, just use Perl, because Perl's regex is the regex that all regexes are sort of based on.
Okay. But doesn't Perl come with a whole bunch of dependencies and stuff?
No, not if you just install Perl.
No,
No,
because
no. Oh,
I
okay.
Perl came. I mean, I did not install Perl. It was just
Yeah,
on my
Perl would
computer.
generally Perl's a build dependency for a ton of stuff. Perl would generally be on your system.
Okay. I wrote because there's one thing that I had that's Haskell, and now whenever I
Yeah, no,
update Arch,
it's yeah.
I like that it wants a whole bunch of Haskell stuff, and I'm like, I can't even remember what it was.
You install one Haskell application, and then every time you update, 7,000 fucking Haskell
And
libraries
I
are
can't
updated.
remember which
Yeah.
one it is, but it's
What's
one
this
that I really
JavaScript?
want.
Is it Pandoc?
Yes, that might be it.
Pandoc. Yeah, get Pandoc bin from the AUR,
Yeah,
which doesn't
Pandoc. Yeah,
have any
you
of
can get Pandoc as a single
Pandoc bin.
binary.
Oh, okay, nice.
So that's how I've
Cool.
always used it. I didn't even
Yeah.
know that it came like the other way. I didn't know Haskell was like that. That sounds like a fucking JavaScript nightmare.
JavaScript, Python, all of these interpreted languages. Haskell might not be interpreted actually, but like all, yeah. It's why I've just come down to like, I will use whatever, but like, I just prefer C or Bash. I know it's going to be neat.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a great time, because like we did Plock together,
Yeah.
and I'm really happy with how that came out. I don't, yeah, we don't need to, like I was thinking, is pagination something we ever need to end up working on? But I don't think it probably is it?
Pagination, it's doable, but it's like, who fucking,
Yeah.
like for the software, make it just stick it all on one page. If we,
Mm.
if and when we get to the point where
It
that's unreasonable to load, then we can think about pagination then,
yeah.
like, fuck it.
That is kind of the where I've landed on it because especially with my
Such a
game
pain in
videos
the
page has
arse.
is kind of like 20 videos now I think, but I've
I
thought about it and I've just kind of
mean, could we live
like, if
in
you're
the
doing
age?
dynamic, if it's database driven, pagination is still a pain in the arse to do, but it's like,
It's a lot
but
easier.
when it's statically generated, doing that with pagination is just like, you can
I've
fuck
what do
it.
you yeah what do you really gain? Just put it in a proper order and then you're fine. Because also as well,
I
like
get
a lot of people
them.
will be what scrolling on their phones and they could just, pagination just is irritating when you're on your phone.
Yeah, the only point at which it's a problem is if it's literally too much data to load, and given that the average website is like 25 megs now,
Yeah.
like for our stuff, it's gonna be a while before we hit that.
I've also decided I don't give a shit about phones.
Yeah, or yeah, that
That
too for me.
well,
I mean, I tried the reason my CSS is as big as it is because I was trying to do phones and make it work on small screen, and I was like, and I think it does, but it's still a bit funky. And I mean, weirdly, you have almost no CSS and your website looks fine on phones. I don't know what magic you've done. So,
it's
like, I'm not purposefully going out to make my website phone hostile, but I've decided I'm not caring as long as it looks fine on mine now. Once I get around to doing style stuff again, when I've
if it wasn't for Chris, who's driving his buses and like wants to read, you know, read something on his phone between like trips or whatever, I'd be quite likely to just make my. I've seen a few websites that just, if you visit them on a phone, it just goes, does not work on a phone, use a proper fucking web browser. I'd be tempted to do that.
The annoying thing about websites is if you have no CSS, they work fine on a phone.
If you
go over, like, I don't know, 10 lines of CSS, they stop working on a phone and you need 1,000 lines to make them work again.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah, I've always fancy it. Yeah, I don't know. I've never. I mean, it just worked for me. How many lines of CSS have I got?
If you've got like 30 or something.
Yeah, it's like 30 or something. And also, what I've done with mine is that I've used the at media only screen thing. So if you decide to print my website, it will not print the CSS. It will just print the default.
The text. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if you do a control P on my website, for example, and it'll give, you know, and it gives you a preview of what it, you know, of what it's going to print, or you print
now,
as a PDF.
I've now found out the Qt browser doesn't have a print dialogue.
No, control P in Qt browser pins the tab.
Oh, is that what that does?
Yeah.
Oh, it does have a print dialogue. Okay, never mind.
But yeah, no. It
doesn't have a print preview, though.
It's in preview.
It's almost like readability mode, right?
It's sort of like readability, not...
That's cool.
Well, to be honest, I was thinking of is like, how do I, like, because if you look at my website with the pink background and the orange text and all that kind of stuff,
like, it's going to get blurry.
That's going to be horrible on a printer. So what's the easiest way to make it? I mean, of course, no one's ever printed my website and never will. But for one line of CSS to make it print, I mean,
there's also, you know, there's print PDF. I know some people like to print to PDF to store web pages, and it'll do the same for that. Which is cool.
I have always been of the, like, I like what you can do with HTML, and it is fun to come across someone who's done just something ridiculous on their website, and it's just cool.
Yeah.
But also, if you're making posts and stuff, I want to be able to read them how I want.
That's the part of HTML that we've lost is view it in a way that's comfortable for you.
Like readability mode actually fails a lot of the time on websites that are like heavy JavaScript, and like readability mode should never fail. Like, there should be a version of your website that is just readable, that I can adjust myself. Like, like Firefox readability mode is basic, but it's all you want. I want to be able to change the font size and the spacing and whatever. Like, that's fine. Yeah. It's also another one of the reasons why everything on my own is in its own folder. Like, again, you can go to /index.md and get the original Markdown file of all of my stuff.
Maybe we should sort of normalize EPUB for web pages, because EPUBs are encapsulated HTML, but.
Yeah,
like they're like the readability version, essentially. So yeah, anything that's just text, just like makes pointless having EPUB on the web. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've definitely come across a website that has made itself available as an EPUB before.
Oh really? Yeah. Okay. I mean, it makes sense. It's literally just HTML. Yeah.
There are a couple of sites I know that are like running off fucking solar powered servers, and like as a way to access them offline, they have stuff like that.
I love those sites where they're solar, and they're, like, some of them are like solar, but they've got batteries and, you know, redundancy and stuff.
Yeah,
some of them are just, this is running off a solar cell, so if it gets cloudy, the website will go down, and I kind of love that. Like, transient, it's cool.
Yeah.
You get a lot of that on Reticulum.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to the Reticulum video, but. Yeah, no, to be honest, I have no withdrawal from YouTube whatsoever and feel like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders.
Your soldiers?
Because I like having my creative outlet to be primarily like my website and with PeerTube as well, is that it's like, well, first of all, my website, I can move it if, you know, like it's, it, you know, if Hetzner decides to, you know, be bad or whatever, then I can move it elsewhere. And it's very trivial to do so. And it's, a, you know, it's a small website and I, you know, it's great. PeerTube's nice because it's like, it's a little community of us, you know, and it's, it,
more
it,
under your control, isn't it, on these things rather than YouTube where it's, you yeah, have no control.
And, you know, it's nice to, yeah, it's like making videos as part of a family in a way. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like the content that I make is in line with Fediverse stuff, because one of the reasons why I felt a bit disconnected from YouTube, one of many reasons, is because the sort of the mainstreamification of YouTube is, if you're not making something that works on TV and you're not making something that works on a phone, you're just not, they just don't, it's just
even,
like,
even though I think like there's loads of viewership for the stuff that isn't either of those things, but that's kind of beside the point. That's the problem. It's beside the point for YouTube. They are focusing on these two particular areas. So if you're not doing that, you're not, you know.
Yeah. Maybe there's like some live streaming kind of thing, but then YouTube is failing at live streaming to Twitch, right? And Twitch
is
awful.
I think so, yeah. I mean, it's fair to say Twitch is dominant for live streaming, yeah.
Yeah, that's fair to say, but it's, I've never really been big into streaming, but there are people I follow who do videos and streaming who have moved to YouTube for streaming, which is interesting.
I've seen a few people. I don't think it's unhealthy on YouTube. Twitch is still the default. So. It's the dominant one for streaming.
Twitch is the default, but like Twitch has like a, like, yeah, I'm not big into stream, but anytime I've looked at Twitch, it's hyper turned to the max.
Yeah, it's too much.
I don't like Twitch. I don't like the interface on Twitch. I don't like the experience on Twitch. Also, I don't like the culture on Twitch either.
No. It's a bit. It reminds me a little bit of evangelical pastors. A little bit.
Give me your
tokens. Give me, you know, like your little donations and stuff. Donos, they call it. Donos.
Donos.
Yeah, gifted subs and stuff like that. It's like, you know what? Like, I'm happy to, like, you know, pay for the space I take up to make what I do.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's not that much, and it's fine. I don't want advertising. I don't want people to feel like if they're not giving me money, then they're, you know, lesser or anything like that. Like, I just, you know. Yeah. In fact, to be honest, I don't have much of an avenue for donations anyway. I think my Libera pay is still about or whatever. I get like a couple of donations that equate to about €9 a month, and that covers the server costs already. So
yeah,
it's fine.
I'm fine with people. Yeah, people taking donations is fine. Is people taking donations and tiering it?
Yes,
like
tiering it, also gamifying donations.
You can only access my Discord if you give me £20 a month. So.
Yeah,
I'm
not that interesting a person.
It's making yourself into a brand, and that's just weird. It's like, it should be I liked your stuff, I'd like to give you something, and that's fine. Yeah, but it's not a requirement.
And some of the best YouTubers...
A lot of that stuff you end up having, like, it ends up costing the person to produce something that they now need to produce extra, and in order to produce the extra, they need to make more content, and they end up doing a lot of stuff they don't want in order to justify getting more money.
Like production, because you're getting paid, because you're now a millionaire, production values have to go up, which changes the character of the thing you're making. So many channels that I used to enjoy until they made money, and then they became boring because they just, you know, they got editors, they got producers, they just became like TV, and that's never what I wanted from YouTube.
No, the worst thing YouTube ever did was monetize itself, and also they set the precedent for social media platforms monetizing themselves. Twitch would not be Twitch if it wasn't for YouTube. Nor would
Twitch really ramped it up with the game. Watching Twitch feels like you said, it feels like a. Watching any sort of mainstream Twitch channel feels like a combination of, like you said, like televangelist, like a telethon where they're, you know, seeking donations, and like Saturday morning kids TV. It's just...
I mean, that are the ones that have already hit like peak Twitch who barely show up. They're just not there.
I just want something much calmer than any of that most of the time. You know,
don't forget the gambling streamers.
Gambling stream.
Oh, that's
yeah. Like, where's grown up media gone?
Yeah.
I mean, media for just people who just, I don't know.
We have to be the change.
Be the change that you want to see.
But again,
in
like,
the world
see, Owncast is lovely. I hope that Owncast keeps ticking on as it does. You know,
I don't see why it wouldn't. It's, yeah, it seems like a healthy thing.
Because
I mean, Owncast could never update again. That's fine.
Yeah, I hope so.
What I want for Owncast, and I think the developer seems to be in this area. I don't want it to go like out of scope.
Mm.
Don't start thinking you need to add this, you need to add that, you need to add, you know, like just keep it.
One thing I would say that Owncast did that I didn't like is I used to have a script back when I tried Owncast myself. I'm not much for streaming myself, but he completely redone the API.
Okay.
In order to use an API standard. I'm not sure how you can standardize API, but that is a thing people try and do. I forget what it's called. But like there was a period of months where the API page on the Owncast website just wasn't there. Which was when I was trying to do something else, and I was like, where's the API gone? And so it still exists. I had to go back on way back machine to find, like, obviously it still bloody worked. But he completely changed it and he made it annoying to use, where now you need to every time you want to start, you need to create a token.
I hate that create a
connection token. I can't just create one in the back end and copy that. I can if it's specifically the admin token that's access to everything. It's just much more annoying to script Owncast.
It's the same reason whenever I'm writing a script that pulls information from, you know, a website, I always like I look at the API and I'm like, that's more work than just scraping the web page.
Yeah.
I always end up scraping the fucking web page.
What I was trying to do last was, and it used to be possible, was to just hit an endpoint and get the chat that's happening.
I was
just trying to get a terminal chat. So I
didn't give
the website.
Because when
people go on.
I was just going to say, a lot of these things, like, they have all this, you know, create a token, create, you know, all this fucking security shit, essentially, for accessing the API, when the website itself is publicly available. If the website itself is publicly available, the API should just be public. And unless you're getting all the fucking time, in which case, rate limit it instead.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the chat didn't used to require a token when Owncast first came out.
Why would it?
I don't know why it does now, and you can't. It's not one you can just create in the interface.
And the point here is, like, for a novice programmer like me, that is a significant barrier. I don't really understand. I don't want to learn that stuff because it's part of that, like, Google world that I don't give a shit about. I just want endpoint data.
It's part of open source that is taking. It's part of it's they're taking the corporate ideas for no reason.
Yeah.
Like
Owncast
was fine when the API was just something he made up on the fly because it made sense at the time. Because I actually ended up just abandoning that idea. Because when somebody's streaming an Owncast, like Chris or Hamish or whatever, I bring it up in MPV because I don't leave my browser open all the time. And I just wanted to be able to bring up the chat without the browser, but now I have to open up a browser.
Yeah. Okay, it's not just a URL that you can... you still have to bring up a browser. The one thing I would wish that there was an Owncast, and maybe there is that I've missed, is an RSS notification. So, you know, it gives you a browser notification, it gives you a activity pub notification.
Yeah, Owncast has it has a browser extension for doing that, but it doesn't I don't know why there's no RSS.
Yeah, I see why they wouldn't go that way, because it's an activity pub thing, isn't it? They're announcing over activity pub.
Depending on the person or depending on what software they're using. Because if they have enabled the Activity Pub announcements, you can probably subscribe to the RSS of wherever the announcement.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, so on Mastodon or something.
I think you have to. I think the program itself has to generate that feed there.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Oh, hang on. Can't you get? Hang on. I might be getting tangled up, but you can essentially view what is an Owncast server on Mastodon, can't you?
Yes, or the announcements.
And Mastodon has RSS Anything that you can view as an account on Mastodon has an RSS feed, doesn't it?
I don't think. No, all Mastodon accounts have an RSS feed.
Yeah, but it's not really in a Mastodon. Yeah, okay, okay.
But it's not really. Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Okay, I see. Right. Yes, because Umcast is kind of running its own mini Fedi server. Right. Yeah, no, right. No, Chris is correct. They would have to, yeah, it would have to be part of Umcast.
Yeah, I can't seem to find.
Right, no, because I actually, yeah, I was, I thought this was creating an account on something else and it was piping. Yeah, okay, no, it's running. It's
yeah, that's kind of what I was.
Yeah, right. So it's not, that's annoying.
Yeah, because it'd be really nice just to have an RSS, because some things, you know, I find RSS really nice to work with, you know, and it just checks. You just check an RSS feed every now and then. Doesn't even have to be like a long one. It can like, it only needs to be like the last couple of
last five or even the last one, I guess.
Yeah, really.
I have found the name of this stupid API standard. It's called the Open API Specification. Is a specification for machine-readable interface definition language for describing, producing, consuming, and visualizing web services, which is exactly what I expect from an open-source project.
It could
not sound more corporate, but do your own thing, open-source projects. You don't need to standardize everything.
Be weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, be weird.
Be weird.
For standardizing on things that make sense. Like, don't go nuts and make your own graphics API. I need my hardware to work.
Yeah,
but you know, you don't have to bend over backwards for like. You don't even have to have JSON if it makes sense. Your API can just be a line-separated list of elements.
Well, plain text would be great, because then we can just curl it and do interesting things with it on the top, you know, without having to fuck around with fucking JQ, which is an amazing tool, but I hate that I have to use it.
Mm-hmm.
JQ, the JQ language, because I feel like this comes up every time people have a thing against SQL because it looks like English but it's not for a start is a thing that also that comes up a lot with people I know who are not native English speakers, because that trips them up dramatically but also if you don't do that, you end up with JQ.
You end up with JQ.
If you replace your word with symbols, you end up with JQ.
I've not done any SQL to speak of for probably 15 years plus. And I think I could still formulate a basic query, even a slightly advanced query. But JQ, every time I deal with JQ, I feel like I'm learning it from scratch. Like, what do I fucking do? How do you get this out of the, it's an absolute pain.
It depends on if the JSON you're trying to do has decided to surround itself in square braces or curly braces. That is a different thing. It's a list of objects, but now you have to start out with a list. It's like dot square braces.
So you're part of that in a specific way. Yeah.
Annoying. I'm an SQL expert, but I do like SQL. I do very basic things with it, but it's very good at that.
But no, Unix got this right. As far as I'm concerned, Unix got this right 60 years ago or whatever with plain text. Just plain text. It's got its idiosyncrasies, but it's so fucking easy to deal with. There's always whatever problem you hit, there's always a way around it.
I do.
And it's human.
I'm tripping over words here. You can see where JSON was the answer, but as usual, it became the answer to everything where it shouldn't have been.
Sometimes it's useful to give something a structure and encapsulate it, but not when it's not that. Putting it in JSON just makes it such a pain in the ass to deal with.
It's annoying to parse.
Really is.
But like, it makes sense for, I think there's something called, I only came across this because of Reticulum, because I think Reticulum actually uses this. There's a thing called Message Pack, which isn't JSON. It's like JSON, but it's much more compressed, but that's what they use for sending packets.
Mm.
Like, you know, it, but that is an incredibly low level thing where it makes sense.
Yeah.
But
that's,
like
that's,
APIs,
yeah, that's
a, APIs you expect people to be hitting with their little scripts,
yeah.
You just need it.
Yeah.
Like there's very different things you're talking about.
So many things, so many times when you're just pulling something from an API, it's what you're looking for is a list of something. Like that's probably the most common thing to hit an API for is a list of things that meet a criteria. So why is that list encapsulated in like three levels of like abstraction and structure?
There's nothing worse than hitting one of those fucking, you're looking for a list of things, but as it's rendered in JSON, it's actually a list of objects that have about seven different values, and you actually want one that's a sub value of a sub value of another one. And it makes no sense why it's in there.
Sometimes it's conditional what the depth is and stuff like that. Yeah, no, it's fucking bad. We should probably head towards wrapping up, but I want to know why is Chris's chair tied in a red bag?
Oh, right. Okay. Well, this.
I did wonder that when he got up.
Oh, okay. So I'll show you my chair set. It's basically just a cover. But this is what it looks like when it's not covered up. So it's an old chair that I got secondhand. Lovely.
Yeah,
but it's a bit rough around, you know, like it's a bit well worn. So I've got this blanket here, and then I've sort of tied it up a little bit to make it
bunched it up together at the top,
just to make it a nice little cover for it.
Yeah,
I think
that works. Yeah, that's very good.
And the blanket actually was it's 100% cotton, but I found it in somewhere like Home Bargains or B&M, and it's weirdly good quality for something that I found that was only like a fiver or something.
Nice.
Yeah, got
always
a couple
good
of
to
them.
Get a bargain.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's probably a good time to wrap up. Have you finished talking about jQuery? Yeah. Sorry, the cat was absolutely.
Well, we could have gone on, but we've got to end that up.
I will finish that off with, if you're thinking about using JSON, maybe a TSV is the answer.
Yeah. Mm.
And your parameters could just be part of your URL.
What about CSV?
Yep. We TSV do. I prefer TSV just because in natural language you're going to get a lot of commas. You're not going to get any tabs, so I just prefer tabs as a separate. Because then I don't have to quote things.
It just doesn't look as neat to me.
Okay, oh, no, it might not. But I mean, I'm talking about in. I mean, okay, I've somewhat reduced my manual TSVing with a script I've recently made, but I still manually TSV and I think it's fine. But we are talking about as a replacement for JSON, so this is going to be read by scripts. Also, TSV is tab separated values, each on a new line. Mm-hmm. CSV has absolutely no standard. whether or not quoting a string counts is dependent on what's reading it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
CSV sounds simple until you have any, like,
but
there's
no
standard
for
quoting or escaping characters, nothing. Whereas
as a human, if you're just looking at the file manually, like, CSV does look, is easier to process visually if you're just looking at the file. I agree with that, but I think...
I don't, actually. I mean, I also am more used to... looking at TSVs.
It depends.
I use CSVs and I don't actually find that very easy to parse, but also because I mean I think it does this for both, to be honest, but like I generally would be looking at either in Vim and it colorizes the columns.
Yeah,
so that makes it a lot easier to parse.
Hang on a minute, because is the one that, now you're right about the commas, like there's lots of things that like in speech or other use cases.
Also, there's a lot of places where they use commas for the decimal separator, which is going to be a pain in the ass.
Places,
that means you've got to
places that are
numbers.
Wrong, yes.
They're wrong, they shouldn't do that, but
But I mean, my personal favorite is the pipe separating divide.
When I used CSVs by default, I did use the pipe. That was also the thing I used. But also, once again, some programs don't give you the option to specify the separator.
That's true. Yeah.
What
Yeah,
one thing
and then
I
if you're pulling that info into a script, if it's already got pipes in it, then you've got to worry about whether those pipes are going to be read by the script as pipes on the command line or.
so but so tabs is it gets around
Oh,
that
you
one though.
get. I'm not like CSVs can still totally be used. It's just my
Yeah,
preference.
I'm not. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah,
Well,
yeah.
okay. All right. So,
we're not going to force you to change, Chris.
well, when I've done scripts before, I've used the you know that weird paragraph sign that looks like a
Yeah,
field that,
like a P. Yeah.
yeah. I've used that as the separator because there's no possible way.
I mean,
Well,
do believe Microsoft Word documents use that.
there are a ton of
What
them. They
did
do.
I end up using when I was trying to do something with sed and I needed a separator that wasn't a slash because I had slash in the what in the input. And we ended up I think Wing was there and we were searching for some just wanted an obscure character that's not going to crop up in any text and because there are a lot of weird ASCII characters that just some of them don't even display that you can use those as separators. But yeah.
So, which all come under the umbrella of CSV, I guess.
I think it was Fru who decided that that should stand for character separated tab.
Oh, is
That
it?
was his give
Oh,
up.
is
In
that? Is
which case,
that?
then
Oh, no,
tab separator is just a.
it does stand for comma separated tab, but character separated
Yeah.
tab makes more sense.
Then it's a generic, and you use whatever character you like, including tab is just a subset of
Including tab.
CSV, then.
Yeah. Or semicolon. That's another option because.
Yeah, it's another
Yeah.
one that can. It's got semantic meaning in some languages, and it can crop up in
Or
text, but.
crops up in text, but most people are afraid to use it.
Yeah.
Or you could use something like a combination of characters.
I
Like
mean,
string.
to just to throw this completely, I will say the last thing I was doing, which is the thing that tracks my media of watching stuff and things, was it, is it that one? Oh no, it's not actually. Sorry, I'm working on a game I play, Dragon Ball Sparking Zero. I am building up a list of all of the character combos. That is a TSV for each input has a TSV, but they can have branching inputs. So inside each column is actually a CSV.
Okay.
So
I can see that.
it's a bastardization of the format, but that is where my gigantic combo list that I'm still not finished is done. I am about 70% through the characters, I think.
Well, yeah, okay. I mean, see, the one thing about tabs that has put me off them is that it's not easy to do the tab character on a phone, which
That's fair.
you folks don't care about.
I
That's a
use
valid
my
point, though,
phone. I use my phone more than I want to because of reason. Because reasons
You're
outside
forced
my control. Yeah,
away from the computer quite
I'm
a lot.
forced away from my computer. However, I do use Vim on my phone via Termux, and Termux has
A
a
tab
tab character
character,
in the top left.
it does, but it has to put that there
I have done
specifically.
more than I would care to admit in Vim on a touchscreen.
I do wish I
You're not talking
had.
about getting a little Bluetooth keyboard for your phone
Oh, I
for stuff
have
like
one.
that.
I do have
Oh,
one. It's just sometimes I just can't be arsed taking it out.
I do kind of like the idea of working on something creative when I in my work breaks, but
yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah.
I could do my little voice notes, go off into Gloucester and see the sights, and but then
Also,
to be
sketches, finger sketches. You should
finger
do blog
sketch.
posts that have a little, or just audio posts that have a little associate. Whatever you're looking at the time, you do a little finger sketch of it in some paint program, and
Oh,
that goes with the audio. That'd be lovely. I'd
which you
love that.
probably shouldn't do while you're driving.
Yeah, not while driving. Yeah.
Well, it's
Also,
hard to keep up with the moving and the
if you're driving, you hand it to the closest passenger and just go like, sketch what's ahead of
yeah. Oh, but yeah. But anyway, loving the website, and it's also I've really enjoyed when I'm on my break reading. Yeah, sort of rediscovered RSS. But one of the problems with RSS that I've often done is I've subscribed to too many like big websites that just churn out shitloads of content.
Yeah,
So
that
I'm
was
being a
my
bit
mistake.
more yeah. So I've got a
Friends
lot.
of blogs is so much nicer.
Yeah, Friends with Blogs is so much nicer. So I do want to do written blogs again because, as far as I'm concerned, you know, people read them as well, which I always find quite interesting. Oh, also, people have been getting in touch with me on my email address, so that is nice.
Nice.
Thank you, folks. I read you. I see you. I don't want to say too much because, like, you know, people don't tend to say if they are happy with stuff being read out or whatever. But yeah,
I have actually. There was one time I responded to somebody's blog. I emailed them.
Mm.
And I think he was asking opinions on things. He was asking for a particular mm-hmm. so he was looking for something, and he made a blog post a week later going through replies he'd gotten. Mm-hmm. And when he got to mine, he'd said, "This person emailed me. I was the only person in the blog he didn't name because I never specified in the email." Which mm-hmm. I just found funny. It's just
not that
I cared, but you know.
You like randomly, like there's been times when I've read a blog post that's been particularly useful to me, and whatever contact thing they list first, I'll just like, I've emailed people and said, just been like, thanks for this blog post, it really helped me. People are always, I think people like getting emails like that. It's just like, oh, thanks, yeah. I think I messaged somebody on Freddy recently because they had a post that was useful to me. What was that for? It was for setting something up, and I was struggling for hours to find, you know, useful instructions, and I finally found them, and I just sent this person a message saying, you know, thanks for making this post 5 years ago. It was really useful to me.
Yeah.
Not something you need to do for every post. But,
you know. No. But when something is, especially when
it's struggling.
Also, on unrelated news, it's Hayden Christensen's birthday today.
I think Wing and I are going to have the same reaction to that.
Okay, well, happy birthday. Goodbye.
Who that is?